It's 9 minutes after 7. This is Chuck Shaden in the Hall Closet. Good morning, Friday the 13th. Lucky day for us to sit around and enjoy the good sounds with you. 76 degrees along the lakefront, 77 at O'Hare, 79 officially at Midway. The humidity is 72%. The wind is out of the southwest at 11 miles an hour.
Would you like a free automatic ice maker this summer? Just come on in and see us before August 31st.
It's gonna be a long, hot summer, and Frigidaire can make it nice. We'll get you through the long, hot summer, and keep your family in ice.
Here's how you can put your family in ice all summer long. Now we can give you a Frigidaire automatic ice maker free when you buy one of Frigidaire's popular size 15.2 or 17 cubic foot U-model custom imperial refrigerators. All you pay is the plumbing installation. So come on in and see us today. We'll put your summer on ice.
Team up with Frigidaire this summer and keep your family in ice.
Now you can save another $10, $20, or $25 on a Frigidaire appliance from Townhouse TV and Appliances at 7243 West Toohey Avenue, just west of Harlem. Open Monday, Thursday, Friday nights till 9, Saturday until 6. And that $10, $20, $25 offer expires on the 15th of July, so better take advantage of it right away real quick. And don't forget about that Lum & Abner long-playing record for only 99 cents from Townhouse TV and Appliances, Chicagoland's leading Frigidaire dealer. And speaking of Lum & Abner, we're going to visit the Jot 'em Down store tomorrow afternoon on our Those Were the Days program. We're going to take a walk down Radio's Main Street between 1 and 5 o'clock tomorrow on our Those Were the Days. And we'll be visiting the Jot 'em Down store with Lum & Abner, and we'll take a walk down to the small house halfway up the next block for Vic and Sade. We'll enter the inner sanctum where Boris Karloff is starring in Death for Sale. And we're going to see the Mystery House as Bela Lugosi and John Carradine star in The Thirsty Death. And that's not all. We're going to stop and spend a long time at 79 Wistful Vista as we listen to Jim Jordan's funniest favorite Fibber McGee and Molly program. And we're going to share our interview with Jim Jordan with you all afternoon. We'll be chatting with Jim Jordan about the career of Jim and Marion Jordan, who were Fibber McGee and Molly. I'm really excited about that. I was tremendously impressed with Jim Jordan. It was the greatest experience of all time for me last week when we were in Beverly Hills and had a chance to talk with him about his career. And I have an idea that if you're interested at all in a little bit of the behind-the-scenes activities of those days of radio from the 30s and the 40s, you'll enjoy listening to the career of Fibber McGee and Molly as outlined by Jim Jordan. We talk about their wedding day, Jim and Marion's wedding day back in 1918. And sadly, we end on the death of Marion Jordan in 1961. But in between, fascinating conversation from Jim Jordan tomorrow afternoon on our Those Were the Days program from 1 until 5.
What a day it has been. Modern times we met then. Clock ticks so fast, morning doesn't last, afternoon gets rough and I've had enough. What a day it has been, it's good to be packing it in. Pick up my today, she called me today. Catching up is nice, lively and concise. What a day it has been today. What a day for Chicago today.
When your day's been hard to get through, your evening newspaper shouldn't be. What you want is a paper that's breezy, but not sketchy. Thorough, but not windy. What you want is Chicago Today, because on the days you work, Chicago Today works.
What a day for Chicago today.
What a day for all of Chicago today. It's 13 minutes after 7. Beautiful weather. Sunny, hot, and humid today. Well, it's summertime, right? Chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. I can't. You look out there. The sun is shining. How can they say chance of thunderstorms? That's always a cop-out. Just wait, Bob Abella says. Just wait. All right, we'll wait. We'll get some thunderstorms. I wouldn't mind a little bit of rain on my lawn. Other than that, oh, well. It's going to be a good day. 76 right now, 77 at O'Hare, 79 officially at Midway, 72% is the humidity. The wind is out of the southwest at 11 miles an hour. We'll be here all day and this evening, too, because we're going to be sitting in for Mike Schwimmer in the Yesterday Shop from 4 until 6:30. And this afternoon, we're going to, we'll play some of the things that you're, some of the big band things and some of the great singers and things like that. But we'll also, we're going to play trivia this afternoon. Some quizzes and guess who's and some memories and nostalgia and things like that. So we'll have a little extra fun. So on your way home or later this afternoon between 4 and 6:30, stick around and we'll have some fun on Mike's Yesterday Shop. And then we'll be playing Richard Widmark in The Enchanted Cottage on the Hallmark Playhouse at 6:30 on our summer radio theater. But right now it's 14 minutes after 7 in the morning, and we're going back to about 1948. The Kraft Music Hall had a long, illustrious career on radio. Paul Whiteman was in charge of it long time ago, way back in the 30s. Al Jolson was in charge of it. Bing Crosby for a while, and oh, so many different people. And back in the late 40s, Jolie made a comeback after the great Jolson story from Columbia Pictures in 1946. Al Jolson was never better than when he was on that Kraft Music Hall in those days, and we've got a never better show for you right now. Al Jolson and his guests Groucho Marx and Jimmy Durante. Let's tune in to part one right now.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Music Hall, starring Al Jolson with Oscar Levant and Lou Brings Orchestra and Al's guests.
So keep on looking for a bluebird and listening for its song. Whenever April showers come along.
Thank you, thank you. And I'm going to open up the shindig tonight with a little song the birdies sing. And I figured like this. If the little birds can do it, why can't I? Okay, Lou. I heard a robin this morning. I'm feeling happy today. Going to put my cares in a whistle. Blow them all away. What if I've been unlucky? Really, I ain't got a thing. There's a time I always feel happy as a king. When the red robin's out, bobbing along, there'll be no more stopping when he starts robbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. The sun is red, live, love. Oh, be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red robin starts bobbing along. When the red robin starts bobbing along.
Say, have you got the key to the washroom? I want to rinse this cigar. I'm afraid you're Groucho Marx. You bet your life. In case you don't remember, I'm Oscar Levant. Oscar, that's a strange name. Why couldn't your parents think of something more normal? Like Zeppo, Hoppo, or Gummo? Or even Zazu Pitts. You won't go far with a name like that.
It so happens that I've done quite well as a piano player.
Really? Well, I have just the thing every piano player needs, an Elgin American compact.
Why would a piano player need a compact?
Well, you can powder the seat of your pants when the bench makes it shiny. Now, Levant, before I make a poor man out of Jolson, how would you like to buy an elephant?
You're mad.
What would I do with an elephant?
Make your own piano keys. Or I'll sell you some piano keys and you can make your own elephant.
Well, hello, Groucho.
Jolson, I don't like your attitude. Every time we meet, you say, hello, Groucho. How come you never say, hello, Tyrone?
All right. Hello, Tyrone.
Jolson, don't you know me? I'm Groucho. I'm one of the Marx Brothers. I'm the one that doesn't talk.
But you're talking right now.
Oh, well, that was you that was just talking. Jolson, I see you've raised a mustache.
Yeah, I did it for a reason, Groucho. I wanted to look a little older.
Well, I think you made it. And you might
Why
be
interested... Why don't you throw a beard in?
You might be interested to know, since I've had this mustache, a lot of people think you and I look alike, you know.
That's about the best reason I've ever had to shave mine off. Jolson, I didn't come over here to find out what's going on under your nose.
Yeah?
Al, someday you're going to want to retire again. Or is that just wishful thinking? You ought to have a business working for you. Something where the money's coming in and you don't have to sing.
Well, suppose the money doesn't come in.
Who cares, as long as you're not singing.
But look, Groucho, I'm not interested in business. It's not exciting enough for me.
That's why my proposition is so good, Al. I want to sell you a ball team.
A ball team? No, thanks. Say, wait a minute. Maybe that's not a bad idea. Now, Bob Hope owns a part of the Cleveland Indians, and Bing Crosby owns part of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Groucho, what team did you have in mind for me?
The Bel Air Bloomer Girls.
A girls' baseball team?
Mm-hmm.
Groucho, that's ridiculous. Girls don't play good baseball.
Well, they probably know some other games, too.
But I've never even heard of the team, Groucho. Who do they play? Where do they play? Who are they?
Well, last week we played the Optimistic Donuts.
What?
The Optimistic Donuts.
Were the Optimistic Donuts any good?
No, I've never yet seen a donut that could play ball. On the other hand, I've never seen a baseball that you could dunk.
Did you ever get in a game with them, Groucho?
Yes, but for some reason, I can't get to play space with any of them.
Groucho, do you coach this team yourself?
That's right, Al. I used to get out there with the girls and take strenuous exercises.
I suppose that was to build up your resistance, eh?
No, it was to tear theirs down.
Well, I don't know about girls playing ball.
I don't know about you, Al, but they always play ball with me.
But tell me, Groucho, does a girls' team draw a big crowd?
Well, at yesterday's game, there were 5,000 people in the grandstand.
Any bleachers?
Well, there were a few blondes there. Now, come on, Jolson, let's make a deal. You can have all the baseball bats, masks, and uniforms for $25.
They'd be the girls' expenses, you know.
You don't have to worry about it, Al. I perfected a device so when a girl is tired and hungry, it automatically feeds her.
What did you call it?
A man. What?
Groucho, I can't go in a business proposition this way. You tell me they're good players, but I don't know. I don't know if they are or not.
Well, of course they are. Why, you should have seen the scouts here last night to look them over.
Big league scouts?
No, boy scouts.
What? Groucho, what good is it for boy scouts to look at the girls?
Well, they learn you can start a fire without matches.
By the way, how many bats do you have?
Oh, just two or three. The rest of them look pretty good.
You're crazy. Now, Groucho, now, look. This is between you and me. Don't try and tell me that. Aren't you fond of any of the girls?
Stop shaking the paper. I can't read.
Wait a minute. This has nothing to do with the paper. I want to know something. You got to tell me.
Your natural shake?
What I want to know is, outside of this baseball, are you fond of any of the girls?
Now, let's see. Oh, yes. Well, to tell the truth. and I'm trying to avoid it, I went for the pitcher, but I went too far and got the catcher.
Oh, she must be good looking, huh?
Oh, you'd like her after a fashion. You'd probably like her even better after an old fashion.
Well, that begins to interest me. Now, there's something else I want to know. Do you play any doubleheaders?
Not if I can get a guy with a single head. Jolson, you got to buy this team. They're really fine players.
Why, I've got a shortstop who doesn't even use a glove when she plays.
How does she stop the ball?
With her face.
What?
Her face will stop anything. However, the center fielder has one bad habit. When she's running the bases, she always stops and walks from third base to home plate.
How come?
She says the fellas she knows with the fellas with Jesus.
Yes. I've been waiting for you to do that.
Well, are you shaking this paper again? She says with the fella she knows, walking home is a good thing to practice. I'm sorry I got to it.
Groucho, how does the batting average on the team? Do you have any girls who are good at pinch hitting?
Yes, one, but I help her.
How can you help her pinch hit?
Well, I pinch and she hits. But enough about the girls' team, Jolson. Let's talk about some other round figures, like your money.
Groucho, I'm not going to get involved in a money deal until I'm sure that you know something about baseball.
Know something about baseball? Al, you don't remember when I played with the Dodgers?
Brooklyn Dodgers?
No, draft.
What?
Then I was with the Chicago White Sox for 3 years.
Chicago White Sox for 3 years? Doing what?
Washing socks.
Yeah.
There I went to the Red Sox and then to the Argyle Sox. After leaving the Sox, I was promoted to underwear. Started at the bottom. After that, I went to the... to the Bush League.
What'd you do in the Bush League?
Trim bushes. 2 years later, I became a star pitcher. I remember my first big game. In the fourth inning, I threw my arm out.
You threw your arm out?
Yes.
What happened?
Someone in the stands threw it back in. He said there was no mustard on it.
So I don't think I want to buy a girls' team. Now, if there were any good, the major leagues would be looking over your players.
Well, they are. I have one girl the Yanks are still after.
The Yanks are looking for her? Who is she?
Mademoiselle from Armentieres.
Groucho, that's the name of a song.
I know, and here's the name of another one, that little German band.
Okay, Groucho, you take the high notes, and I'll take the low notes. And I'll get to the end before you.
This should be a baseball song. It's coming in from left field, Al.
The Kapellmeister, he's making every music.
The Kapellmeister?
Yeah, the Kapellmeister, that's his Großartig, you
know. Sehr gut, yeah.
Beneath my window every morn, I can hear a great big horn.
Um, papa, in the backyard there they are.
When they want money when they play, I give them more to go away.
They all play something new.
Yes,
they blow until they're blue.
And when you think they're true, they sing a line or two. La, 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 la.
Such a pretty melody.
La, 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 la.
Like the babies in the tree.
La, 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 la.
Everybody sing with us.
La, 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 la. La, 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 la. That was Großartig, Meyer.
Oh, wunderschön.
You know something?
Yeah.
You, the way you sing, you should be with Caruso.
Albert, Caruso is dead.
I know.
Albert.
Oh, that music is so grand. From the little Sherman band.
There, something got sour in the flute.
The bass horn fell out. It's the best. Now he could almost round the rest.
They all stand in a ring.
Jawohl.
They play the same old
thing. Oh, they're no good. When the leader pulls the string,
yeah,
they drop their horns and sing. La, 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 la.
Such a pretty melody.
La, 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 la. Like the berries in the tree. La, la, la. Now I'm going to warm up with a tune that's so jumpy, I have to have somebody hold me down while I sing it. Hold me down, Lou Bring, hold me down. Ma, she's making eyes at me. Ma, she's organized to me. Ma, she's almost breaking my heart. I'm decided. Mercy, let a conscience got a ma. She wants to marry me. Be my honeybee. Every minute she gets bolder. Now she's leaning on my shoulder. Ma, she's kissing me. Ma, ma, she's holding hands with me. Ma, how nice.
now she stands with me. Marsh is singing both of my teeth. The song she's doing, I'm forgetting what I'm doing. Ma, she's pretty as can be. Life's not turning low. Love for me is growing stronger. I can't hold out any longer. Ma, ma, ma.
Al Jolson and the Eddie Cantor hit Ma, She's Making Eyes, He's Making Eyes at Me, or She's Making Eyes at Me, or something like that. Good song. Good show, isn't it? Boy, oh boy. I think you have to hang on to this one, keep it on the shelf in the closet, and play it once in a while. Groucho Marx. Now, you think that was fun? Jolson teams up with Jimmy Durante in just a little while on the Kraft Music Hall.
Faye, Ma's sure been busy these days. Here at home and at the lumberyard, too.
Yes, Willie, she has. So many things going, you know. I guess it's because lots of people are building new homes, what with construction loans so easy to get at Northwest Federal Savings.
Oh, yeah, Faye, I hear that Northwest Federal not only makes it easy for a person to get their own new home, home loan rates are mighty attractive there, too.
That's right, Willie. Not only can you get an excellent deal on a home loan from Northwest Federal, many people have said that the folks over there are really nice to talk with. And they sure know the home construction business, too.
Oh, that's right. Why, just this morning at the lumber yard, a builder came in to get some 2x4s. He was telling me that a lot of his new homes are being sold to people who've been to Northwest Federal.
Yeah, and even Ma said that she was so proud to know that Northwest Federal was investing money in the local community. She has her savings account there, you know.
Oh, so do I, Faye. And not only that, when I bought my home, you know, the old Sutton place, I got my home loan from Northwest Federal, too.
And I have a safe deposit box there. And Shuffle went there with Ma last week to get some traveler's checks. By the way, Willie, where's Ma now?
Oh, she's out there in the kitchen making some coffee.
You mean?
Yeah, Ma's perking. Perk up your interest in a new home with a new home loan from Northwest Federal Savings, 4901 Irving Park Road, just west of Cicero. Spring 7-7200.
This is Chuck Shaden in the Hall Closet from WLTD. We're going to take a break for the news headlines, and then we'll be back with more fun for you this morning. Jolson and Durante on the Kraft Music Hall, and then Can You Top This? And Mr. Keen, Jonathan Winters, and all kinds of other things. Don't touch that dial.
At the top of your dial, 1590 WLTD, it's 28 and a half before 8 a.m. And good morning, I'm Bob Avella with the news. Chicago Sun-Times reports in today's edition that multimillionaire W. Robert Stone intends to trace some of the $7 billion in contributions and loans that he made to the 1968 Nixon campaign. Stone says he wants to know if any of the money was involved in the Watergate affair. Stone says that for the first time he has some doubts about where his contributions to the Nixon campaign went. An Amtrak passenger train with 200 persons aboard derailed last evening, but none of the passengers were seriously injured. That train, bound from Chicago to New Orleans, rolled off the Illinois Central Gulf Railroad tracks about 55 miles south of Chicago. 8 of the 12 cars derailed but stayed upright. Authorities are investigating the cause of the derailment. They say no other trains were involved. And the Secret Service says it wasn't their men who were involved in the ripping down of an anti-war banner during a presidential visit to Pekin last month. Secret Service said a volunteer White House advance man named Peter Murphy of Eugene, Oregon, was the one who ripped down the banner. The Secret Service said none of its men were involved in removing citizen signs during their visit. They say they identified Murphy through a photograph and with talks from several witnesses. Senators Adlai Stevenson and Charles Percy say that they've called on action concerning the tearing down of a protester's banner during that presidential visit to Pekin last month. Stevenson is calling on the president to put an end to the abuses committed by the White House staff members against peaceful demonstrators. Percy is asking for an investigation in two charges that an anti-war group was harassed during the visit. Secret Service says none of its men were involved, and they say a volunteer member of the White House was responsible. Those are the headlines. WLTD weather is next.
The heat has hit. It's swelter time. But Polk Brothers is ready. Thousands of brand name air conditioners waiting for you. Blessed comfort in a carton. Just pick yours up, take it right home, install it yourself in seconds, and enjoy cool, dehumidified comfort tonight. A complete selection of all the famous brands in all sizes. General Electric, Westinghouse, Amana, Fetters, Carrier, Chrysler, Hot Point, Whirlpool, Admiral, Frigidaire. Just drive by. We'll load your choice in the car for you. Your choice of credit terms, too. Breathe easier, sleep better. Make home a haven with a brand name air conditioner from Polk Brothers. It's worth a trip in from Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan. So drive on over. Comfort is only a Polk trip away. You folks in the western suburbs can take the swelter out of summer by visiting our sparkling new Polk store on Roosevelt Road in Glen Ellen. All Polk stores are open for you every night until 10, Sundays until 6.
Partly sunny, hot and humid with the chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs will be in the middle 90s. It'll be partly cloudy with the chance of showers continuing likely through the evening on the cool side in the middle 60s. And on Saturday, partly sunny and cool, less humid. Highs will be in the middle 80s. Winds are out of the southwest, 12 to 20 miles an hour, becoming northwesterly this evening, with the probability of precipitation 30%, 40% this evening. Along the lakefront, 76, officially at Midway, 79 degrees. The humidity stands at 72%, and the winds at present are 11 miles an hour out of the southwest. This has been WLTD Mutual News.
This is Mutual, your news and sports radio network.
You can see three of the most beloved plays of our time, productions highlighting the great nostalgic years from 1915 through 1950, and all three for only $4.50. The Northwestern University Theater proudly presents the Northwestern Drama Festival, July 12th through August 11th. And in this, its 19th season, presenting Thornton Wilder's Our Town, Lucky Jim by Kingsley Amis, and Mosshart's Light Up the Sky. Return with the Drama Festival to those nostalgic days of yesteryear as these three productions unfold beneath the stars at Northwestern's enchanting outdoor garden theater. All plays start at 8:30 p.m. and will be staged on a rotating basis July 12th through August 11th. For tickets and further information, contact the Northwestern University Theater at 492-7282. That's 492-7282. Remember Our Town, Lucky Jim, and Light Up the Sky during the 19th edition of the Northwestern Drama Festival.
Mop, mop. Chuck Shaden back with you in the hall closet on this bright, sunny, warm Friday morning, the 13th of July, 1973. It's 23 minutes before 8 o'clock. We're tuning in to the Kraft Music Hall with Al Jolson, his guests Groucho Marx and Jimmy Durante, and this is an Armed Forces rebroadcast, and I'll bet you what this really is. It's a lot of the Armed Forces broadcasts come from discs, right? One 16-inch disc with two sides on it. Okay. Sometimes the discs had program A on one side of, and program B on the other side of the disc. And so I bet what we have here is the first half of one show and the last half of another show, because sometimes the complete show was done on two discs, so one disc is missing. But we've got the best of both, because we have the first half of the Kraft Music Hall with Al Jolson and Groucho Marx, and this is the second half of another Kraft Music Hall with Al Jolson and Jimmy Durante.
Some people come back to the music hall because they like it. Some come back because we like them. But here's the only man who has to make two appearances to get his nose in. Jimmy Durante!
You can't start off each day with a song. Now even when things go wrong, why you feel better, even look better. Ha! Why, that note is so high it can only be heard by a dog.
Wait a minute, Jimmy. I heard that note.
What do you know? A talking dog. That's a ready or mischievous tonight.
Jimmy, I understand you wanted to see me about something important.
Yeah, Al. I read in the paper that you're going to take a trip around the world this summer.
Yeah.
So I thought if the two of us went, We could be goodwill ambassadors. I've got the brass knuckles all packed.
Look, Jimmy, if we're goodwill ambassadors, why would we need brass knuckles?
Just in case we have to beat some goodwill into somebody.
I know you've been all over America, James, but have you ever taken any ocean trips?
Jolson, all you got to do is ask the officers on the Queen Mary. I sat at the captain's table every day until they served dinner.
Just a minute. You were on the Queen Mary, huh? You probably were a stowaway.
Wait a minute, Al. I had a beautiful cabin all to myself. Of course, I didn't like the crew coming in every half hour to oil the engines.
Oh, Jimmy. You don't know what traveling on an ocean liner is like. No, you don't, Jimmy. Not until you've hit a rough sea.
This boat trip was plenty rough, Al. My morning exercises consisted of trying to touch the floor with both feet.
Well, James, I don't know if you'll be any help to me or not. You see, I want to go to romantic spots like Biarritz, the Riviera.
The Riviera. I'll never forget Count Broccoli's house party.
Count Broccoli?
Count Broccoli, I knew him very well. That mad, enchanting night when I took off my shoes and went wading in Lady High Bottom's onion soup.
Well, I can just see myself in Monte Carlo, Paris, and Venice, especially Venice, where the gondoliers sing.
Oh, sola mia, oh, sola iua.
How do you like that, James? How do you like that?
Oh, boy, that's beautiful. I remember floating down a canal in Venice. It was such a lovely night, I kept wishing I was in a boat.
Oh, Jimmy, you're so right. There's so much to see in this world, isn't there?
Yeah, things like the Arch de Triomphe and the Leaning Tower of Pizza.
Jimmy, give me that again, please. The Leaning Tower of what?
The Leaning Tower of Pizza.
Pizza. Jimmy, it's the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Pisa. Pizza is something they eat in Italy.
Well, maybe if they stopped eating on it, it wouldn't leave.
Them writers got to go east soon.
Now, Joseph, here's the way your route should go. We head for Hawaii first. Last time I went by plane.
Clipper?
Yeah, they overcharged me a little. You love Hawaii, Al. It's so romantic. I remember the last time I was there, the romance of the air made me feel like composing music. So I went out and sat in a secluded brook.
You sat in a what?
I sat in a secluded brook.
Jimmy, don't you mean nook?
I meant nook, but I didn't watch where I was sitting. I can just see us wandering around the beach at Oahu.
Jimmy, look at the girls doing the hula in those grass skirts.
Yeah, get out of my way. I want to throw some dandelion seeds at them.
What for?
In another month, the dandelions will choke out the grass.
Ooh-da, hickey-hickey-hoo-wa. Ooh-da, hickey-hickey-hoo-wa. Ooh-wa, ooh-wa. Are you fellas American?
Yeah, who are you?
Oscar Kamehameha. You fellas got nickel for coconut?
A coconut? I've heard dialects, but never one like that. I'll throw you the line again. A coconut?
I can only repeat. Ooh-wah.
Go ahead.
I'm sick of pineapple juice. Ooh-wah.
I can see from that, Jimmy, we better skip Hawaii. Where will we go next?
South America. We'll go straight as the crow flies. That is, if you like traveling by crow.
I've always wanted to go to South America.
Yeah, I want to be sure to see the Andes.
Oh, you'll not only see the Andes, but I'll show you the Amoses, too.
But, Jimmy,
you don't know anything about South America, do you?
Why, Al, I had my own coffee plantation in Brazil.
No.
It was just a small one of 8 beans. I grew nothing but demitasses.
Ah, there's an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. In fact, I was told that the faucets are marked. Hot, cold, and chased in sandbars.
Al, you and I could have a lot of fun in Brazil. I can picture us now sitting in our hacienda. That's French for Spanish. Well, how do you like the plantation, Al?
Oh, I couldn't sleep, Jimmy. The birds sang all night long.
Yeah, the coffee trees kept them awake.
Well, they ought to build their nest in a sanca tree. Jimmy, what do you say we go to a nightclub? I want to do some dancing.
I asked a couple of girls to dance last night, but they wouldn't say yes. They just kept saying, CC.
Wait a minute, Jimmy. Down here they speak Spanish. They say CC instead of yes, yes.
How do they say no?
Why, they just say no.
They always make that one easier.
Buenos dias, hombre. Are you Americanos?
It's him again. Say, how come you left Hawaii, the land of the hula and the grass skirts?
I got hay fever. Senores, give me nickel for a glass of milk.
Milk?
Ooh-ha.
He wound up being a Westman. You know, Al, I'd like to make that trip. From Switzerland, we could fly over the Himalayas.
Over the what?
Himalayas.
Jimmy, look, you don't even know where the Himalayas are.
Why, sure, they're right next to the Himalayas.
You know what would be interesting, Jimmy? A trip to the Middle East. Yes, sir, a trip to the Middle East. It gives us a chance to ride on a camel. You see, in Arabia, everybody rides camels. Of course, I guess they're hard to get up on, you know. They're high, you know.
Not if you're with me, Al.
How come?
Well, when I want to mount a camel,
yeah,
I just walk up and look him in the face, point to his nose,
yeah,
and then I point to my nose, and without fail, the camel kneels with shame.
Jimmy, it's no use. I think I'll stick to my original plan and take the trip with my wife.
Okay, Al. Like they used to say when I traveled through China.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I was traveling too fast. But, Al, as you go through these foreign countries, you'll no doubt be singing a song or two or even 5,000. So you'll need a real piano player.
Yes, you're right, Jimmy. I better take you along. And I'll tell you why. Mr. Rembrandt needed a piece of canvas before he could paint a thing. Benvenuto Cellini needed a chisel before he could start sculpturing. And folks, Jolie needed a great piano player before he could start to sing.
Al, stop worrying. I'm here. Go ahead, let your voice start to ring.
Oh, Jimmy, by the way, do you play accompaniment? I mean, can you play classic stuff like Levant or Jose Iturbe?
I'm even better. Can Jose Iturbe play this? Or 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 this? Ah, Jose, make way for Nosey.
Why, Jimmy, you're sensational. What are we waiting for? Let's go. Cause it's a thrill.
It's a thrill.
When a real piano player sits down at the keys, it makes me weak in the knees to hear him. What a kick.
What a kick.
When a real piano player starts to tinkle away, it makes your voice light and day when he goes.
myself. Well, I can understand your bliss. Don't get excited, Al. Compose yourself.
The bank was never like this.
Al, listen close. You know that ain't chopped liver.
Hear those harmonies.
You know this is very tiring. I play with all my might.
Here's a dollar, kid. Don't stop. Keep playing all night. Cause it's a thrill.
Yes, it's a thrill.
When a real piano player sits down at the key. Two bottles of beer upstairs.
You'll notice, Mr. Jolson, I don't need Larry Parks to play the black keys.
I've been stabbed. Keep going, boy. Let's hear that beat. Make that old piano fall there with me.
He can't resist. Just look at him shake. Al, take the break. Guys, I admire.
Forget them all, boy. Name your prize. Gimme, you're hired.
Yes,
oh, what a thrill. When a real piano player sits down at the key. Sit down at the key.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Al. Boy, a lot of fun there with Al Jolson and Jimmy Durante, and before that, with Groucho Marx. Good, good program to start off your weekend in the Hall Closet. I'm Chuck Shaden. It's 9.5 minutes before 8 o'clock, 76 degrees along the lakefront. Here's a sound from our cassette of the month for this month of July. One of the two good shows on that cassette is the Jack Benny program.
Hey, Jackson, you promised Don Wilson you'd listen to his program. It's getting late.
Oh, yeah. What time is it?
I don't know. The little hand is straight down and the big hand is bent over.
That's 6:15. Phil, why don't you learn how to tell time?
I try to, but it always keeps changing.
That's Phil Harris. It always keeps changing. Did you hear him on the Phil Harris Alice Faye show last night on our summer radio theater? Oh, boy. That's really fun. I think Phil Harris and Alice Faye, that show, is really one of the funniest from radio. And, of course, Jack Benny, the great radio comedian, the standby, always dependable. Good program on our cassette of the month for the month of July, the Jack Benny program. On the other side, another half-hour show. William Bendix as Chester Riley on The Life of Riley. Many of our listeners have been getting cassettes of the month, and we're happy to provide this means of beginning or continuing a collection of vintage radio sounds on tape. If you'd like to have our tape for July, the Jack Benny program and The Life of Riley, all you have to do is send $4.95 to the Hall Closet, Box 421, Morton Grove, Illinois, 60053. That's $4.95. Send it to the Hall Closet, Box 421, Morton Grove, 60053. Your cassette tape of the month will be rushed on its way to you, and there's no further obligation. If you'd like our cassette tape for next month, tune in August and order again. Nothing is sent automatically. So don't forget, gang, to get your cassette of the month for July, the Jack Benny program, and The Life of Riley. Send $4.95 to the Hall Closet, Box 421, Morton Grove, 60053. That's the Hall Closet, Box 421, Morton Grove, 60053.
48-0-4901-4901-4901 Irving Park Road. Yes, with men who know money best, it's Northwest Federal, 9 to 5. It's your money parade. Yes, it's your money parade. The program that presents the top savings association of the week, as determined by the Money Parade survey, which checks the fastest-moving savings passbooks and mortgage loans. The association most talked about and most used by knowledgeable people. An accurate, authentic tabulation of Chicagoland's taste in savings and loans. And now, number one. The number one savings and loan association in the Chicagoland area, Northwest Federal, 4901 Irving Park Road.
Yeah, Yeah, three cheers for Northwest Federal Savings. Boy, beautiful weather out there today. It's hot, though, and it's going to be humid, and a possibility of a thunderstorm this afternoon, though. High in the middle 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy, chance of thunderstorms and cooler. Low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, Saturday, hey, it's going to be a great day. Partly sunny, cooler, and less humid with a high in the middle 80s. Good day to listen to the radio wherever you are because you can take us with you. 76 along the lakefront right now, 77 at O'Hare, 79 officially at Midway. Here's Kitty Callan.
Blow me a kiss from across the room. Say I look nice when I'm not. Touch my hair as you pass my chair. Little things mean a lot. Give me your arm as we cross the street. Call me at 6 on the dot. A line a day when you're far away. Little things mean a lot. Don't have to buy me diamonds and pearls, champagne, sables, or such. I never cared much for diamonds and pearls, 'cause honestly, honey, they just cost money. Give me your hand. I've lost the way. Give me a shoulder to cry on. Whether the day is bright or gray, give me your heart to rely on. Send me the warmth of a secret smile to show me you haven't forgot. For always and ever, now and forever, little things mean a lot. Give me your hand when I've lost the way. Give me your shoulder to cry on. Whether the day is bright or gray, give me your heart to rely on. Send me the warmth of a secret smile to show me you haven't forgot. That always and ever, now and forever, little things mean a lot.
Kitty Callan, nice song, nice sounds from her. Little things mean a lot. Why swelter this month when you can have Amoco or Carrier central air conditioning installed at sale prices? That's right, Standard Heating and Cooling has lowered the cost right now with the hot weather already here. Find out how truly inexpensive central air conditioning can be by calling today for a free estimate. Dial 856-4140. That's 856-4140, and just for seeing how little it can cost you, you'll get a beautiful $7 stationary kit absolutely free from Standard Heating and Cooling, a division of NRJ Corporation.
Nostalgia Buffs.
They're recreating New Orleans right here in Illinois.
Picture it.
With a dozen kinds of old-time fun your family will enjoy.
Ah, yeah.
It's a home site, haven, playground, unlike anything you've seen.
And the name, pray tell.
New Landing for the Delta Queen.
Ah, yeah.
The New Landing for the Delta Queen is a recreational community that combines the wooded hills of Wisconsin, the lakes of Michigan, and the privacy you've always wanted. And it's close by, right here in Illinois. Illinois, just 90 minutes away. The New Landing has a lake with beaches, an adjacent golf course, camping facilities, picnic area, fishing. It's all yours to enjoy now. And they're building a clubhouse replica of the famous Delta Queen riverboat. Go on out this weekend. For free information and family fun booklet, good for breakfast and lunch, swimming and boating and free gasoline, call Chicago 649-0808. That's 649-0808. Permission to use the name Delta Queen granted by Green Line Steamers. Well, let's see. We're going to take a break for some business and the news, and then we'll be back with more in the Hall Closet. Reminder, Monday in the Hall Closet, the Eddie Cantor Show with Eddie's guest Marilyn Maxwell and Alan Young. We'll have Bill Stern in the sports newsreel with his guest Cab Calloway. We'll have Robert Young reminiscing about 1934 and the Eddie Bracken Show from the 1940s, a situation comedy. Tuesday, all kinds of fun. The Wayne King Show, the Hallmark Playhouse, Sinatra, Liz Taylor, Bergen and McCarthy, Bob Hope, Burns and Allen, all kinds of things. Don't touch that dial.
I'm here with fastest typist in the world, Estelle Fingerman, who's attempting to break her own record of 215 words a minute. Think you can do it, Estelle?
Of course. It's working.
You mean your nimble fingers?
No, my Body All. It's working.
Body All underarm deodorant is a different kind of powdery spray. It doesn't just work once and then quit. Every time you begin to perspire, Body All works again and again. So the more you need it, the more it works.
And she's typing words faster than she can say them.
I-T-apostrophe-S-W-O-R-K-I-N-G. It's working. I-T-apostrophe-S-W-O-R-K-I-N-G.
Body All. The more you need it, the more it works.
Hello, I'm Judy Kahn, and I don't brush my teeth. Oh, I still use the old brush, but now I polish them with Topol tooth polish. Look, I drink coffee and tea like mad, but I can't afford to let them show up on my teeth. That's what's so great about Topol. Topol helps polish away surface food and tobacco stains in a jiffy, makes teeth feel clean and shiny. So turn your old toothbrush into a modern tooth polisher with Topol. T-O for tooth, P-O-L for polish. Topol's marvelous.
WLTD.
Good morning, it's 8 a.m. and now Mutual News on the Hour, brought to you by Bank of Lincolnwood.
President Nixon resting well and in excellent spirits after being hospitalized at Bethesda Naval Hospital near Washington. The chief executive is suffering from viral pneumonia and doctors say they expect a rapid recovery. Maryland State Delegate James Turk Scott shot to death last night in Baltimore. A police department spokesman told Mutual News.
At about 1:45 this morning, a tenant of the building pulled into the garage, discovered the body. We found two shotgun shells, 12-gauge shotgun shells, about 4 or 5 feet from the body. He'd apparently been shot twice. We don't know exactly how long he'd been there before we got onto him.
The 48-year-old Scott was convicted in April on narcotics charges. This just in, Argentine President Hector Campora has announced his resignation, a move designed to put former dictator Juan Perón back in power. Campora has been in office 49 days. The cruise ship Canberra reported aground off the island of Grenada, but her skipper reports the more than 1,600 American tourists and 383 crew members are in no danger. This is comprehensive news from Mutual Radio. I'm James Hall.
May I have your attention, please? I'd like to make a statement about saving at Bank of Lincolnwood. Faster service, more windows, longer hours, better for all. Bank of Lincolnwood serves you faster with our statement savings plan. Bank of Lincolnwood offers even more service with statement savings. 18 lobby tellers and 9 drive-in windows handle all your savings, deposits, and withdrawals. Longer hours, too, from 8 in the morning till 8 at night, Monday through Friday, and from 8 to 1 on Saturday. And statement savings is better for all. No more worries about losing or misplacing that passbook. No need to come in at interest time. Highest bank interest is automatically added to your Bank of Lincolnwood account, and you receive a statement every 3 months. Try Bank of Lincolnwood Statement Savings. I'm convinced you'll like it. Bank of Lincolnwood, Dewey and Lincoln Avenues, across from the Hyatt House. Member FDIC.
The Watergate Committee heard Special White House Counsel Richard Moore's testimony yesterday. Mutual's Bill Greenwood was there.
President Nixon has received a strong defense from White House advisor Richard Moore, telling the Watergate Committee he's certain the president was unaware of the scandal. Moore repudiated accusations from ousted counsel John Dean, said he had talked with Dean personally, repeatedly, and Dean told him the president knew nothing. Dean said exactly the opposite when he testified.
The Chicago Sun-Times says millionaire W. Clement Stone has given or loaned $7 million to the GOP since 1968. Now he wants to know how it was spent and whether any of the money was used in the Watergate affair. Good news from Vietnam on those two Canadian truce officers being held by the Viet Cong. Reuters' Chris Peterson.
Two Canadian truce observers look as if they'll be tasting freedom for the first time in over 2 weeks tomorrow. The Viet Cong have agreed to release Captains Ian Patton and Fletcher Thompson, who they've been detaining in a rubber plantation east of Saigon.
Washington sources say the U.S. will begin pulling B-52s out of Southeast Asia this weekend. All reported quiet along the Israeli-Syrian border after a flare-up yesterday. An Israeli spokesman says a misunderstanding might have caused the eruption. There were no casualties. The grandson of billionaire J. Paul Getty, missing in Italy. The 16-year-old has been missing from his home since Monday, and his mother has told newsmen there has been a ransom demand. You are listening to Mutual News.
Partly sunny, hot and humid, with a chance of thunderstorms through the afternoon and the evening hours. Highs are expected to be in the middle 90s this afternoon, lows this evening in the mid-60s, and on Saturday the highs will be up in the middle 80s. Winds are out of the southwest, 12 to 20 miles an hour, and the probability of measurable precipitation is 30% this afternoon, increasing to about 40% this evening. Right now along the lake, 80 degrees, 79 officially at Midway, and the humidity 69%. We have winds out of the southwest 12 miles an hour. WLTD Mutual News on the hour is brought to you by Bank of Lincolnwood, 2E Lincoln Avenues, across from the Hyatt House, with drive-in banking hours 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. Bank of Lincolnwood, growing with you and our neighbor Hamilton Humidity.
This is Mutual, your news and sports radio network.
Now's the time to get that do-it-yourself project going that you've been planning on. Whether you want to panel a room, redecorate a room, add a closet, whatever the project, you'll find all the materials you need at Miller Brothers Lumber Company, 4918 West Lawrence, a respected name in building materials since 1928. They feature a complete selection of famous Masonite Royal Coat paneling, plus everything in lumber, millwork, insulation, roofing materials, and oak, maple, and fir floorings. You'll never be disappointed at Miller Brothers. You can trust their reputation for quality, reliability, and service. And you can depend on them for down-to-earth prices. You'll like the prompt, personalized services, too. For everything in building materials, it's Miller Brothers Lumber Company, where you can use your Midwest bank card. For prompt, city, and suburban delivery, call Avenue 3-3460, or visit Miller Brothers, 4918 West Lawrence in Chicago.
Look around, it's summertime, fishing in the summertime. Take along your radio in the good old summertime. Look around, it's summertime, swimming in the summertime. Tune to WLTV in the good old summertime.
That's right. Take along your radio in the good old summertime and listen to the good old sounds from our hall closet and from all over the place here at our WLTD Radio Central. It's 6.5 minutes after 8. I'm Chuck Shaden. This is the hall closet. And tomorrow evening, we're going to be over at the Memory Club meeting. We've missed the Memory Club. Been away for about 3 meetings, I guess. Been out of town and some other little business and things like that. So we're happy to be over there again. Kind of missed you out there in Radio Land. Tomorrow night, boy, a good film at the Memory Club. That's in the community room at Northwest Federal Savings. We're going to have Don Ameche, Cesar Romero, and Sonia Henney in one of those great lightweight but fun-to-see musicals from the 30s. It's 1938 and Happy Landing. A plane makes a forced landing in Norway, near the home of Sonia Henney. What else? Gonna be fun. Come on over. 7 o'clock is when the doors open. You can stoop around, see what's new that's old in the Memory Club Fantasy Shop, which is kind of a mini fair offering all kinds of vintage items like old-time comic books, magazines, big little books, movie magazines, posters, radio tapes, records, premiums, toys, all kinds of memorabilia for sale or exchange. And then the movie begins at 8 o'clock. Usually a little bit of information about the film. Not an in-depth thing. We don't study the films. We enjoy them. But we give you a little bit of information about a couple of the stars and maybe a little bit of something about how the film was made or where it fits into the career of a personality. So it's a lot of fun, and it's good to see you there, and it's good to be there. The dues are $1. You're a member, so come on over. Can't hardly go wrong for that. Nice way to spend a Saturday night in July. The Memory Club, tomorrow evening in the community room at Northwest Federal Savings. Sonia Henney, Don Ameche, and Cesar Romero from 1938, Happy Landing.
This is a scene of three people who have spotted a flying saucer, or seen one, and the announcer might say, with his little microphone and portable unit rolling, "Ladies and gentlemen, there are three people here in the area who have seen, or think they saw, a flying saucer. I wonder if we could have your name, sir."
"My name's Edward P. Suggins."
Over down there at Brain Cement Company.
Mr. Suggins, did you see a flying saucer? Could you describe it to us, sir?
Yes, I can. I was standing there, I was just putting them cement bags up there, and I seen this huge thing. It's all orange and red and green, a cigar-shaped oblong, and there's a face that some, my God, is the most frightening thing I've ever seen in my life. Massive eyes and hair and teeth, and I don't drink. I don't drink. Don't smoke, so I know that I had my faculties. I seen that thing. I said, by God, you better not come near here. Because I'll cold cock if you do. And somehow or other, he come close. He come in there, toward the company. And Clyde Jones come out there. He said, he's in the letter, you know. So he said, what's going on? I said, look at that. And he, oh, my God, and run back in. I said, stand here and take it. We mustn't run anymore. Mustn't run anymore. That's what they want us to do, is run. I said, get out of that machine. And the thing just went in and out, and there's all... It is terrible. It singed all my clothes, the hair on my hands. You can see that. And I've got nothing to prove other than what I've seen. I wish to God I'd had a camera or something, because everybody's saying, you're a kook. By George, I'm no kook. I'm not kidding. I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a kook. I'm home every night, and I get 12 hours of sleep, and that's the reason I'm getting fired. But, thank you very much, Mr. Suggins. And now we'd like to talk to this lady here. Your name, please?
My name's Maud Fricker.
Maud, you heard the other gentleman's description. Did you see something similar?
No, I didn't. I was painting in the kitchen is what I was doing. I was laying down some linoleum, me and my stepson. And all of a sudden he said, did you hear that, Maud? Called me Maud. You know, that step stuff, you know, they don't want to call you Mom. So I said, what was it? And he said, look out there. And we went, I had some empties in my hand I took out there at the dump. And this was the wildest thing I ever seen. It was green and indigo and purple. It was shaped like a box. And this man had ears and vegetable. His hands was like carrots. And he was breathing fire. That's all I know. And I said, get on out of here. And he stuck his tongue out, which I thought... So I stuck it back at him. And my stepson throwed a tomato at him.
Thank you very much. Certainly a strange... Two people here have given their... I don't know what they've given here, but it's frightening. Here's our third man. Sir, you're a professor, botany, at one of the better universities. You were working in your greenhouse, is that right?
Yes, I was. I don't know what these other people said, but it's pretty apparent to me they're insane. I thought he was a very attractive man. He had very wavy hair.
Did you say anything to him?
No, I don't think... Action speaks louder than words. We said a lot of things physically with our shoulders and our hands, you know, and little takes and things of that nature. You can say, but you don't have to talk. You can see, you know. And...
I see.
But those other goons, I think they're out of their skulls. No, as a matter of fact, he circled. I was out there just sprinkling my poppies. And I love them. They're just... And when they turn to seed...
Oh. Well, we don't want to get into that. I know you don't.
It's my place. But it was rather a frightening and yet wonderful experience. He circled my little glass shop, or I mean my house that I was in, and then he went away.
Well, that's interesting. Oh, stand back, ladies and gentlemen. I think the thing is getting out of that ship.
Hello there. My name is Rolo the Robot. I'm from outer space. I won't hurt you.
I hope you won't. We're Americans. We're friendly. We got enough people against us. Is there anything we can do for you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, there is. I'd like a girlfriend.
I see. Well, we have a number of electronic companies. I don't know them right offhand. That are working on all kinds of things.
Silly, he can come.
Never mind, never mind. I tell you, I know of a friend of mine who is very close to the UNIVAC machine.
I don't want a brain, I want a body.
I hate moving. The moving man says, "Lady, your door wasn't made for your piano for 3 hours at $50 an hour." He says, "Lady, your door wasn't made for your piano." My head feels like the 1812 overture with cannons and that meatloaf. Oh, this heartburn. I wish I had some Alka-Seltzer. Oh, that Alka-Seltzer would go to work. Oh, my. When I drink it, it would settle my upset stomach and my headache fast. Oh, don't tell me.
Hey, lady, your door wasn't made for your piano.
She's got a nice bikini on this morning, hasn't she? Great. Betty's can dress you up and down from your shoulders to your ankles. Find out how great you can look in three places. Winnetka, Evanston, and Lakehurst. A little cream in that coffee there, honey. This is Chuck Shaden in the Hall Closet from WLTD, 16 minutes after 8. 80 degrees along the lakefront and at O'Hare, 79 officially at Midway. The humidity is 69%. The wind is out of the southwest at 12 miles an hour. And that THI, the temperature humidity index, is 75, and that means you're uncomfortable unless you're in an air-conditioned place or if you're just relaxing, whatever you're doing. But if you're moving, you're uncomfortable, I guess. Yes. Hey, we're going back now to 1948 for some comedy, and good comedy, too, from Can You Top This? The date of this show is April 30th of 1948.
Top This, presented by the Colgate-Palmolive Feet Company, makers of Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth, and Palmolive Lather Shave Cream for a smoother, more comfortable way to shave. And here is Colgate-Palmolive Feet Company's master of ceremonies, Dennis James.
Well, good evening, friends. Welcome to Can You Top This, our unrehearsed clown town, with Ward Wilson pinch-hitting for Senator Ford.
Good evening.
Harry Hirschfield.
Howdy.
And Joe Laurie, Jr.
Hello.
And here's the people's representative, our storytelling genius, Peter Donald, to tell the first joke of the evening, which comes from Mrs. Clara Giroux of Cape Pack, Michigan. And it's on the subject of barber. You got it, everybody? Barbershop, don't get clipped, Pete. Go ahead.
Used tonight.
Well, this is about little Dennis James is age 7 years old, and they sent him to the barbershop for his first haircut. So the barber lifted the kid up in the chair.
He says, "That's nice. Now, you be a good boy." He says, "You sit there, and meet Tony Lasagna. I'm going to give you good haircuts. Don't worry."
So he starts to work on the kid, and he took the electric clippers, and he ran it around the back of the kid's head. And the kid starts bawling. He goes, "Rah!" Tony says, "Please, don't do that. I'm no joy. If you don't just sit there." So he goes with the electric clipper again. As soon as he touches it, the kid goes, "Rah!" He says, "Please, don't do that. You make me jump, you know. I'm going to cut your hair down to your knees if you don't watch out. Please, don't do that. Shut up, that's all." As soon as he touches the kid with the electric clipper again, "Rah!" Tony says, "Please, wait a minute. What's the matter for you, please, eh?"
Kid says, "Well, gee, my mama told me if I didn't wash my neck good and clean, she would spank me. And I scrub my neck, but I guess it ain't clean enough."
He says, "Well, what makes you think your neck is dirty?"
He says, "Because You have to use that vacuum cleaner on it.
Well, I don't know why you're looking so sour, Pete. The vacuum cleaner, an old vacuum cleaner, was a clean sweep. You made a big 1,000 on that Colgate Palmolive laugh meter. You're out in front with $25 for Mrs. Giroux, so the three wits will have to just try to tie it. Harry Hirschfield is first.
Well, one I haven't heard in years is a barber. He'd had an awful day, you know, playing the races. Every few minutes he'd get the report in the race and he'd take a drink. And he was getting drunker by the minute, and in walks one of those ministerial guys to get a shave. And he gets in this guy's chair of all chairs. And as he gets in the chair, he gets a whiff of the liquor, but he doesn't say anything because he's under the razor now. And this guy is getting these, and he's been drinking, and he's thinking of the races, and he's giving this guy a shave, and he's beginning to cut him, and he's shaving and wobbling all over him, and he's shaving him, cut him. And finally, this fella feels something, and he looks up, and he sees a little blood. He looks up, and it places all his faces cut. He says, "Now, you see the effect of liquor." He says, "Yes, it makes the face very, very tender."
Yes, just a shade tender, Harry. That was 900 up there on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter, but we'll see who's next. Ward Wilson right there.
I was thinking of the gag that the late beloved Mark Hellinger gave me credit for as an original story a few years ago about the fellow who was in the barber shop getting everything from soup to nuts, and he was all covered with steaming towels and everything, and the manicurist was working on him, and the shoe shine boy was working on his shoes. And all of a sudden, right in the midst of this thing, with all the steam coming up and everything, some guy bursts in the door of the barber shop and he says, "Hey, Machiavelli, your house is on fire." Well, that this guy jumps out of the chair, the towels are flying in every direction, the manicurist loses all of her tools all over the floor, dashes out of the store of the barber shop, runs down the street like crazy for about 2 blocks, 3 blocks, 4 blocks. Finally, he's getting out of wind. He gets down to the 5th block and he stops on the corner. All of a sudden, panting and puffing, he looks around. He says, "Wait a minute. What am I running for? My name's not Machiavelli."
Maybe not match your belly, but you certainly matched that gag as told by Peter Donald Ward, because it was up there solidly for $1,000. And, of course, that puts Little Joe from Kokomo right in the middle.
Well, there's a lot of barbershop gags. The one I like very much is the one about my friend Montgomery. He goes into this barbershop and says, "Shave, please." So he gets in the chair. The fellow says, "Close shave?" He says, "Yeah, stand near me." He says, So he shaves him, this fellow goes, Finally, he gets all through, and Montgomery gets up, and he looks over in the mirror, looks at his face. Barber sees him looking, he says, "What's the matter, too close? Did I shave you too close?" He says, "Well, I want to tell you something, buddy. One thing I'm sure, I didn't have these dimples when I come in."
Well, that was a typical Laurie story. You're mighty cute, Joe. You know what it got up there? A big 1,000 on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter. So that completes the first round. Pete got $25 for Mrs. Giroux. So we're sending Mrs. Giroux the $25 with the compliments of Palmolive shave creams, plus a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling her story on the air. And now, here's Dan Donaldson with the biggest shaving news in history.
Men, if you like oceans of rich, thick, moisture-soaked lather, try the new, different Palmolive lather way to shave. A way that means smoother, more comfortable shaves for 3 men out of every 4. Yes, the new Palmolive lather shave cream way brings smoother, more comfortable shaves to 3 men out of every 4. It's a fact, men, not a promise. 1,251 men tried the new Palmolive lather way to shave. And no matter how they shaved before, 81% reported beards easier to cut. 76% said less razor pull. 71% said closer shaves. 80% smoother feeling skin. And 3 men out of every 4 reported smoother, more comfortable shaves the Palmolive lather shave cream way. Here's all you do. Wash your face with soap and water. Rinse. Soap your face thoroughly again. Do not rinse. Brush Palmolive lather upward into beard to get the full benefit of Palmolive lather shave cream's beard conditioning effect. Then shave. That's all, but you be the judge. Get Palmolive lather shave cream and try the new different Palmolive lather way to shave. Remember, it's proved. Proved to give smoother, more comfortable shaves to 3 men out of every 4.
Okay, that's Can You Top This from radio. I believe there's a version of Can You Top This on television now with Maury Amsterdam and Milton Berle and those people like that, in a daytime show, right? Well, those are the right guys to be doing it, I would say. These guys are pretty funny, too. Peter Donald and Joe Laurie Jr. and Harry Hirschfield. Lots of fun. We'll get back to that after this at 24 minutes after 8.
Mr. Interest Accumulator, champion of the people, defender of the vault, guardian of our fundamental rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of daily interest on passbook savings. And it shall be my duty as interest accumulator not only to pay the highest interest permitted by the limit of the law, but to pay it to all persons holding passbook savings accounts perpetrated at Northwest Federal Savings, and to defend with equal vigor the rights and privileges of all Chicagoland savers to open and hold an account at Northwest Federal Savings, earning top interest from the date of deposit to the date of withdrawal.
Come on, Herringbone. We're going to 4901 Irving Park Road, one block west of Cicero, to Northwest Federal Savings to investigate the case of the growing balance.
And that investigation will reveal that passbook savings at Northwest Federal earn a giant 5.25% per year now. Brand new interest rate, 5.25% on regular passbook savings. You'll find that there is no higher passbook savings rate available anywhere in Chicagoland, so it pays to stay with or move up to Northwest Federal Savings.
And now we join Captain Bluebeard Bug and his crew of roving insects.
Avast! I, Bluebeard Bug, will lead you pests through the darkness to a treasure of food.
Right,
mateys, but keep a sharp lookout for raid.
Ahoy, lighthouse, down ahead.
This ain't no lighthouse. It's
Raid! Raid, house and garden bug killer. Indoors or outdoors, it hunts bugs down like radar and kills them dead.
I have that sinking feeling.
26 minutes after 8 o'clock, 80 degrees. Let's get back to Can You Top This on the Hall Closet.
All right, gentlemen, let's continue with our contest of wit and humor. And here's a joke which was sent in by Mrs. W.C. McGinty of Dallas, Texas. And the subject is amazement. Everybody's ready, so Pete O'Donnell will take off, huh?
Well, it seems that two fellas were traveling through the hillbilly country, and everywhere they looked, when they were near this small town, everywhere they looked, they saw evidences of perfect shooting. There were on the trees, the walls, the fences, there were all these bullseyes and bullet holes in absolutely the center of every bullseye. And they measured this thing. This guy was shooting right in the center. So they decided to find who was doing this. They went to the general store, walked in there, and the proprietor came out.
Here's Howdy Bowers, what can I do for you?
Said, well, mister, he said, my friend and I were strangers in these parts, and we notice all over the place evidence of great marksmanship. Now, the two of us, we think we're pretty good shots, but we've never seen anything as amazing as this.
So he says, well, I'll tell you, gentlemen. He says, you see that fella sitting down there in the back of the store right by them Sears Roebuck cuspidors? That's the fella that did it. Why don't you go over and meet him?
So they did. They went over, introduced themselves. And again, one of the city fellas remarked on this great marksmanship. He says, I tell you frankly, sir, he says, I don't know where you learned to shoot, but I never saw such marksmanship. He says, tell us, how do you do it? And this big guy stretched. He says, how do I do it? Well, he says, it's just as plumb easy as pie. He says, first I shoot my gun at the trees and walls and fences, and then I draw the circles around the bullet holes.
It started off slowly, Pete, but you hit the bullseye. That was a 1,000 on the Colgate Palm Olive Laugh Meter. Boys, you just know that you're going to have to work to try to tie it. Little Joe is first this time.
Well, Pete reminded me with his hillbilly story. This is sort of a new one on me, I don't know. But this hillbilly never was to a city before. And he comes to the town, he gets to a hotel where a friend of his lived, a city fella. And this fellow was so happy to see him, he says, well, you see, you came back from the hills, he says. I'm glad you looked me up, he says. I tell you what you do, I've got to go around and do a little business now, but look, here's the key to my room. Go up there, there's a good bottle of scotch there. Make yourself at home, just make yourself at home. I'll be right back, I'll be back in about half hour or so. He says, okay, and showed him how to take the elevator and went up to his room. Fellow comes back about a half hour, he says, comes in the room, he says, how'd you like the scotch? He says, scotch was all right, he says, but that siphon that you had, that water there, that siphon, he says, I never saw such fizz water in my life. He says, why? I never saw such fizz water go through it. You know, that thing come out so fast, it nearly knocked me out of the window. He says, the fizz water? He says, I have no siphon here. He says, sure, you know that thing, that red thing with the brass rings around it? He says, that was the fire extinguisher.
It was as hot as a Kewaunee boiler, Joe, but not quite hot enough for a fire, so it got a 950.
That's hot enough. It's hot summertime, enough? Remember.
Summertime. All right, Ward, go ahead.
I was thinking the one about the little fella up in the Bronx who walked into the delicatessen rather bashfully, and he looked at this big counter of cut meats and ham and everything in the case. So finally he looks at the Swiss cheese, and he says, "Pardon me, how much is the Swiss cheese?" Says, $1.25 a pound. Says, "How much are you getting for the tongue?" Says, $1.10 a pound. Says, "How much for the cold roast beef slice?" Says, "That's $1.40 a pound. Just then, down the bottom of the case, he spies this great big boiled ham. So he points down to that and he says, "Pardon me, how much you get for this?" And just then there's a terrific bolt of lightning and a crash of thunder, and he looks at the door and he says, "For goodness sake, I'm only asking."
Well, Watson, you're only asking and I'm only telling. That was a 1,000. Harry, that kind of put you in the last slot.
Yeah, there was a husband and wife always fighting. The minute they got together, within range of each other, they'd start fighting and socking each other and everything. It went on, this quarrel, for years, and finally their son, their only son, couldn't stand it anymore. He couldn't stand their quarreling, so he left home. A few years later, a fella came and says, "You know, your mother died." Says, "My mother died, I'll pray for her." A few years later, they came to him again and says, "Your father died." And the fella said, "My father died?" And he says, "Aren't you going to pray for him?" He said, "No." He says, "I stand here amazed and shocked. I'm looking at you in amazement. You won't pray for your father? You prayed for your mother, didn't you?" He says, "Yes. And my prayers, I know because of my prayers for her, she's at this moment in heaven." He says, "Why don't you want to pray for your father?" "Why should I bring them together again and start the whole thing over again?"
Well, you made two ends meet. You know, that Colgate Palmolive laugh meter starts off at zero. That's one, then, Harry, and you went way past the other end, which is 1,000. So we complete another round, and this time Pete got $25 for Mrs. McGinty. Also, she's getting the Palmolive shave creams and a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling her story on the air. Did you hear the way I said that? I gave her shave creams. I don't know what she's going to do with them. But at any rate, it was the $25 with the compliments of Palmolive shave creams. Let's go on, boys. But before we do go into another round, since we're getting things straight, I'd like to ask everybody to compete in this weekly gag fest. All jokes told by Peter Donald have been submitted by our listeners. So send your favorite joke to Can You Top This, care of NBC, New York, or the station to which you're listening. Now, of course, in cases of similarity, we'll have to be the sole judges of who is paid, and in every case, the decision of the judges is final. Laughs are registered on the big Colgate Palmolive laugh meter in full view of the studio audience. And our three wits have no scripts. They rely on memory and ability to switch jokes to make them fit the subject. You ready, gentlemen? Then let's continue with laughs. The next joke comes from Mrs. Sadie Dorsey of Manchester, Connecticut, and it's on the subject of rudeness. I'm sure that's clear to everybody, so Peter, take it.
Well, it seems that a bus slid to a stop at an intersection, and a voice from the back of the bus said, "Now, wait a minute. Now, don't hold the doors. I got to get off. Hold everything there."
So the driver says, "How am I supposed to know you want to get off? Did you ring the bell?"
He says, "Did I ring the bell? I've been calling it. I thought you were dead or something."
Bus driver says, "Well, then why weren't you standing there at the door ready to get off?"
He says, "What's all the questions? What are you running, a quiz program or something?"
"All right, Dr. O'Pew, I'll tell you if you want to know. It took me a long time to rise from my seat because my lap is full of bundles." Guy said, "Oh, is that so?" He says, "Well, buddy, all I can suggest is that if you would eat some yeast, maybe you would rise quicker."
He says, "Oh, you're a comedian now, are you?" He says, "If I'd eat yeast, maybe I'd rise quicker."
Well, he says, "Let me tell you something, you spalpeen. If you take some yeast for jabers, you might be better bred."
You doed it, Peter. You doed it. Colgate Palmolive laugh meter reads 1,000, so we'd take off to the wits. We'll have to try to tie it. I see only one hand up this time, too, and it belongs to Hirschfield, so go ahead, Harry.
Well, I was thinking of, rudeness and the way children are brought up today, the growing delinquency. I think this story fits. Four boys are brought into court, rushed in by the cop, and the judge looks at one of them and he said, "What are you here for?" He says, "For throwing peanuts in the lake." He said, "The second one, and you?" He said, "The same thing, for throwing peanuts in the lake." And he said, "The third one, are you? What are you in here for?" He says, "For throwing peanuts in the lake." He turned to the fourth one, he said, "What are you here for?" He says, "I'm peanuts."
1,000. Big, strong, full, and long-lasting, Harry. Ward, do you want to try to follow that one?
It's a silly place to walk in, I know that. I was thinking, I think one of my favorite stories comes under rudeness. These two colored boys were given a job to remove a safe up in Harlem. They had practically no equipment. One great big guy and one little bit of a fella. So the big guy finally put a beam on the second floor of the building. They put a pulley on that and they put a rope through it. And the big fella says, I'll go into the place here and put the rope around the safe. He says, you go down there on the sidewalk and hold on to the end of the rope. And when I ease the safe out the window, he says, you just hold it and let it down easy. He says, all right, I'll do it. So he goes out on the sidewalk, he's holding on the rope, and the big guy gets up on the second floor, and he lets his safe out very easily, and all of a sudden it slips, crashes to the sidewalk, and the little guy forgets to let go of the rope. He goes all the way up to the top, and his head hits the beam, and he's get knocked off and down on his back, out cold on the sidewalk. So the big guy rushes down the steps out to the sidewalk, and he turns him over. He says, Sam, speak to me. Sam, speak to me. In the muscle movie, he says, Sam, please, you got to speak to me. Just then, the little guy's eyes flutter open. He says, speak to you. He says, I tipped my hat to you going up and coming down. You didn't even say hello.
You didn't have to finish the punchline, Ward. It was up past the 1,000 halfway through. Joe, I hate to keep putting you in a spot, but it's yours.
This one is about this very hoity-toity relative. Well, I know how tidy she was. She was over 30, I know that. But she came over to visit this relative of hers and this fellow with his wife and about 10 kids and everything. So he asked her to stay for supper. So she sits down and she's very, very neat, you know, looks around. And during the course of the meal, this fellow burps. And she says, oh, how rude. She says, tell me, John, are you in the habit of doing this before your children? He says, we ain't got no timetable. Sometimes I do it before them. Sometimes I do it before them.
Well, looking up at the Colgate palm olive laugh meter, Joe, it tells a rosy story. In fact, the color was purple.
Yeah.
You got a 1,000. Makes it a perfect round all the way around. 4 1,000s. So we're going to send Mrs. Dorsey $25 with the compliments of Colgate Dental Cream, plus a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling her story on the air. And now here's Ron Rawson with an important message.
Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. No other toothpaste does a better job of cleaning teeth than Colgate Dental Cream. For Colgate Dental Cream has a safe polishing agent that cleans your teeth both gently and thoroughly, brings out their natural sparkle and beauty. You can actually see and feel the difference. And scientific tests prove that Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. Yes, actual scientific tests prove conclusively that in 7 out of 10 cases, Colgate's instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. Colgate Dental Cream is famous for its wonderful wake-up flavor, too. Nationwide tests of leading toothpastes prove that Colgate's is preferred for flavor over every other brand tested. Yes, preferred over every other brand tested. And no wonder, for Colgate Dental Cream is the result of constant effort to produce the finest toothpaste in the world today. For cleaning teeth, for flavor, for sweetening breath. So see if you don't agree with the millions who have made Colgate Dental Cream America's favorite toothpaste. Try Colgate Dental Cream to bring out the natural sparkle and beauty of your teeth for a wake-up flavor you'll thoroughly enjoy. And always use Colgate Dental Cream after you eat and before every date to clean your breath while you clean your teeth.
Okay, there you go. That's another portion of Can You Top This from April 30th of 1948. That's right. That's some of the comedy from radio in 1948. This is Chuck Shaden in 1973, only 25 years after the fact, with good-sounding replays of all of these things. We'll take a break for the news headlines, and then we'll be back. Don't touch that dial.
1590 at the top of your dial, 22 minutes before 9. And good morning, I'm Bob Avella with the news. Governor Daniel Walker says the state will make $7,200,000 available immediately to the Chicago Transit Authority. Walker says the money will come through prepayments made from funds for carrying students and older persons at reduced rates. They normally would have come to CTA in installments. Walker says that this money, combined with the $8,500,000 to be provided by the city and the state, will keep CTA in operation through the month of October. Walker also ruled out a summer session of the legislature, saying it isn't needed now. The CTA still needs $3 million to stay on its feet, and CTA board chairman Milton Pekarsky says the latest funding won't affect the cutbacks planned for the month of August. A Chicago juvenile court judge says a 16-year-old should be tried as an adult in the murder of a visiting Wyoming rancher. Count Spence is being charged with the June 13th shooting death of 47-year-old John Brueger. Brueger was shot when he and three friends parked their camper truck on a Chicago South Side street to glance at a road map. The youth's mother, Mrs. Flossie Spence, says she knows for a fact that her son did not do it. A Chicago study group says the procedures used to screen applicants for the Chicago police force are inadequate, superficial, and discriminatory. The Chicago Law Enforcement Study Group also charges that there is no stage in the screening process which look for emotional maturity and the ability to tolerate pressure. Chicago Police Superintendent James Conlisk denies the charges and says that all recruits receive psychological screening before they go on the job. Those are the headlines. WLTD weather is next.
Someone must have been messing around with Mother Nature, because she's really turned on the heat. Humidity, too, especially in the city where it never cools off. Sticky, sweltering, sizzling heat. Well, at Polk Brothers, we have some magic words to turn off this kind of torment. Carrier, Frigidaire, General Electric, Westinghouse, Amana, Fedders, Chrysler, Hotpoint, Whirlpool, Admiral. All brand name air conditioners. Sizes and models to fit any window, even no window at all. Experts to help you pick the right one, and that's very important. Over 10,000 in stock. So drive over this evening, select yours, we'll load it in the car for you, and tonight, sleep in cool, dehumidified comfort. Polk trade-in allowances save you extra dollars, your choice of credit plans, and we're there for you weeknights till 10, Sundays till 6. So drive to your nearest Polk store right now. Sleep in cool comfort tonight.
Partly sunny, hot and humid with a chance of thunderstorms. This afternoon, highs will be in the middle 90s. It'll be partly cloudy, showers continuing likely through the evening, lows in the middle 60s this evening. And on Saturday, sunny skies, cooler and less humid. Highs will be in the middle 80s. Winds are out of the southwest, 10 to 20 miles an hour through this afternoon, becoming northwesterly this evening. And the probability of measurable precipitation, 30% this afternoon, that increasing to 40% this evening. 80 degrees along the lakeshore and at O'Hare, officially at Midway, 79. The humidity, 69%. And we have 12-mile-an-hour winds out of the southwest. This has been WLTD Mutual News.
This is Mutual, your news and sports radio network.
Chewing gum can be fun when the taste is the one that tastes so double good. Double Mint will do it, 'cause it's double good all through it. Everybody!
Double Mint, double good, Double Mint. Chewing gum that tastes that's double good. Double Mint will do it. Get some Double Mint and chew it.
Okay, chewing up a storm there. This is Chuck Shaden back with you in the hall closet, and it's 17 and a half minutes before 9 o'clock, 80 degrees along the lakefront. We're tuning in to Can You Top This, the comedy panel show from 1948.
Time we go round and around. This time the joke is sent in by Harry L. Cools of Erie, Pennsylvania, and it's on the subject of clerk. I don't care where it is, what store, bank, or anything, but just clerk. Peter?
Well, it just happens this happened in Grand Central Station at the information booth. And a lady walked up to the desk, and the fellow was there, you know, and she walked up and kind of cute, and she said, "Ooh, clerk, ooh, ooh, clerk." He said, "Yes, madam." He says, "You want information?"
She says, "So why else would I come to an information booth, to buy a girdle or something? Certainly I want information. I just got off the train. I just came from Chicago, and I was on a gorgeous choo-choo train. Oh, it was this a train? Ooh. They call it the 20th century liniment. Oh, is this a train?" So I got to visit my cousin in New York, and the question I want to ask you, the information is, do you know a woman in this town by the name of Cohen?
The guy says, "What? Do I know anyone in town by the name of Cohen?" He says, "Do you think I know everyone in New York?"
She says, "No, Mr. Smarty Pants, I didn't think you would know everyone in New York. But I did think that any schlemiel would know at least one person."
Searching for the punchline. It's gone through all of the scripts by jokes sent in by people. Pete, I'm sorry, but it did not do it. Do you want to take it again? Change it at the end? I have to tell Harry Cool exactly what the score was, Pete. If you don't want to listen, it's all right. I don't want to upset you for the whole evening. Wasn't too bad. 600. So you got
an average.
You got a 400 leeway. Let's see. Ward is first.
I thought of a couple on Clerks, Denny. One is kind of a quick one I toss in for nothing about the fellow who worked behind the goods counter, yards good counter, and this hoity-toity woman came over and said, pardon me, may I see that bolt up there? So he hikes up this ladder and brings the bolt down, shows it to her, and she isn't very impressed. He said, may I see that one up there, please? So he goes up the ladder again, brings another bolt down. About a half hour, he has bolts all over the counter. There's only one bolt left up on the top of the shelf. He said, look, lady, pardon me, are you interested in any of these things? She said, no, no, to tell you the truth, I'm just waiting here for a friend of mine. He said, well, if you think she's up in that last bowl, I'll go up and get it for you.
That was just a throw-in, wasn't it, Ward?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
The other story's about the sort of a goofy guy working a delicatessen, and this woman, little matronly old lady, came in. She said,
pardon me, how much is butter?
Says, 84 cents a pound.
Said, how much would a half pound be?
Says, that would be 42 cents.
Said, well, how much would a quarter of a pound be?
That would be 21 cents.
Said, well, how much would an eighth of a pound cost?
Said, that would be 10 and a half, 11 cents.
She said, well, how much would a 16th of a pound cost?
Just wait a minute, lady. Go home and get this slice of bread and bring it over. I'll butter it here.
Your bread, and you were sly with it, too, because you got a big, round, long one that time. The Colgate Palmolive
on the margarine.
Meter, read a 1,000. What'd you say?
On the margarine.
Yes, margarine. By a good margarine, huh? Harry, take it.
Well, I heard one that I think is a kind of a newie. A little a home, you know, an old-fashioned home, decided to make it like a colonial home and get people there for a summer resort. And the first person that comes there is a big, fat dame, about 500 pounds. And the clerk says, boy, she'll lead us out of home, certainly, into this place. So they took her. It's the first customer. They wanted some publicity anyhow. And she goes up into the bed to sleep, and right away she sinks the bed right to the bottom. So she comes down in the morning. She said, I can't sleep in that bed. I got to have another bed. I've sunk to the bottom. He said, that's all right. We can make money because of this. We're going to send out publicity that Washington slept there with his horse.
Yes. I thought maybe you'd just thrown that
no,
in.
That's thrown in.
Oh, yeah, well, it's good. Go ahead.
Well, one I always love is the one about there was a clerk, and he had one leg shorter than the other. And he was back at the counter, and a drunk comes in. And he said, I'd like to see a kind of a red kimono. And the fellow said, red kimono? He said, yes, I want to see a red kimono. So he showed him a couple of kimonos. He said, ain't that. He said, I'd like to see a blue one. So the clerk with the short leg sinks down on his other leg. And the drunk said, if you have to go downstairs for, don't bother.
The story goes down, but the meter goes up. That's another 1,000, and of course, Joe, it's your honor.
Well, they've all been throwing them in. This is one, this is for free, too. This is about the fellow who comes into this department store. He says to the clerk, he says, are those good socks on a counter there? He says, are they good socks? They've been on the counter for 2 weeks and there ain't a hole in them yet. That's for free. The one I like, though, is one that's sort of new to me. A fella comes in to a store and a clerk says, what can I do for you? He says, how much is that collar button? He says, the collar button, it says, is $18.50. He says, $18.50? He says, I forgot to tell you, there, a tie goes with it, a hat, a shirt, socks, and a pair of shoes. Says, I don't want that. All I want is the collar button. He says, I'm very sorry. We don't break up sets.
You know, I kind of hate to break up this set. There, three of you told your jokes, and it was about 6 1,000s in there. Officially, we're all 1,000s. Anybody want to see if they can keep it up? Go ahead, Harry.
Well, I was just thinking of another barber story.
Way back to the first round? Go ahead.
There was a barber telling, he was telling a friend, he said, we have a fine idea. He said to the boss now, says we have music with the work. That's all the factories do now. When we shave, we have music.
And he said, we got to find a record there, and it's beautiful. We shave very slow on the face, and we're forever blowing bubbles. He said, it's wonderful. So next week, fellow said, you still got music there? Said, yeah, we got the music, but we're losing the customers. Said, what do you mean? He said, the customers are losing their nose and their ears. He said, on account of the music? He said, yeah, the boss is kind of greedy. It was very fine, he said, when we had, you know, I'm forever blowing bubbles. Now he put on another record. Yankee Doodle, we're not down.
I suppose you want to go to the second round, Ward, but all right.
You know, talking about...
Ward was going to stop.
Oh,
one,
pardon
me. Harry, going back to Barber reminds me of one that happened down at the Lambs Club with Charlie, our barber down there. I was sitting back listening to the ball game, getting a shave the other day, and he's in the middle of it. He says, Mr. Wilson, pardon me. He says, you've been eating a borscht? I said, what? He said, you've been eating a borscht? I said, no, I haven't been eating borscht. He said, oh, I think I cut you.
That I like, Lord.
You know, talking about a guy being cut, a friend meets a fella, and he says, it's all cut up. He says, what's the matter, shave yourself? He says, no, I went to a barber. He said, if you went to a good barber, you wouldn't be cut up like he said. I went to the best bar. What are you talking about? I went to a hotel, a big hotel, a barber, something hotel. He says, what hotel did you go to? I couldn't cut you. He says, Yimke. He says, where? He says, I went to the Yimke Hotel. He says, where is it? He says, on 12th Street, is it? I've been around tons. I never heard of the Yimke. He says, Yimke is a big sign there. Y-M-C-A. Yimke.
Well, Imke, I'm going to stop right in here and give the score, at least, fellas, before we do wind up activities. You know that Mr. Cool's only got a 600. Our three wits got about 12,000 1,000s.
So we're going next week.
We're going to send Mr. Cool's $10 with the compliments of Colgate Dental Cream. And a copy of that laugh-packed and brand-new joke book, Cream of the Crop, written by our three wits. You want to say something, Harry? Go ahead.
Got time for another barber story?
Right, we've got about 20 seconds, if you think...
You're talking about 20 seconds. I was reading the paper that everybody... I've been reading all day. You know, I've always noticed in the papers that people flee from Russia. Every time somebody flees from Russia, I never read where anybody flees to Russia. You like it, man?
That took up the 20 seconds. So, friends, that just about does it. Remember, Peter Donald just picked up his old discarded joke, and we're going to pick up and pack up. Join Can You Top This, originated by Senator Ford. Next week, same time, same gang. Other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we'll remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Ward Wilson batting for Senator Ford.
Harry Hirschfield.
Joe Rush and Laurie Jr.
Peter Donald.
Dennis James.
And Dan Donaldson saying goodnight for the Colgate Palmolive Peat Company, makers of Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth, and Palmolive Lather Shave Cream for a smoother, more comfortable way to shave.
For soft, glamorous, dream girl hair, try Luster Cream Shampoo. 4-ounce jar, $1. Smaller sizes, tubes or jars, whichever you prefer, 49 and 25 cents. Be a dream girl. A Luster Cream girl.
Dream girl, beautiful Luster Cream girl. You owe your crowning glory to a Luster Cream Shampoo.
Be sure to tune in to Judy Canova and the old Professor Kay Kaiser over most of these same stations tomorrow night. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Oh, but gee, the Luster Cream jingle there. Dream girl, beautiful Luster Cream girl. How about that? Oh, it's been a long time, hasn't it? 7 minutes before 9 o'clock, that's the Can You Top This program from April 30th of 1948. Dennis James, Peter Donald, Joe Lorre Jr., Ward Wilson, Harry Hirschfield. Senator Ford was absent on that show, and he's the fellow who originated that program. It was a good one, too. Lots of fun. But that last joke was a bad joke. This is a good joke.
Laugh a while, you can sing, you can smile with Northwest Fed. Don't despair, use your head, save right there at Northwest Fed. Your money will earn a big 5%. Get enough interest to help pay the rent. To save is in style, do it now with a smile at Northwest Fed. bed. Yes, climb aboard the savings bandwagon and ride to Easy Street with a passbook savings account at Northwest Federal Savings. You'll earn a big 5% interest on your money from the day you deposit it to the day you need it. Climb aboard today. Northwest Federal Savings, 4901 Irving Park Road, one block west of Cicero. Spring 7-7200.
Passbook savings at Northwest Federal earn a giant 5.25% per year now. 5.25% on regular passbook savings. There isn't any higher passbook savings rate available anywhere in Chicagoland. So it pays to stay with or move over to Northwest Federal Savings. 5 minutes before 9 o'clock. You know, this summer you'll want to wear clothes that are both comfortable and signify the season. The clothes are made for the sun, and they come from Hawaii. And this is what you'll find at Roberta Belfan's Hawaiian Shop. Roberta selects the clothes and accessories of 20 top designers in Hawaii and brings them back to the North Shore for you. Hundreds of colorful summer styles for both men and women are there, along with all the accessories native to the Isles. Chicagoland's only location for a complete selection of Hawaiian clothes is Roberta Belfan's Hawaiian Shop, 1630 Orrington in downtown Evanston. Here are some moments to remember with the four lads.
January to December.
The New Year's Eve, we did the town. The day we tore the goalpost down. We will have these moments to remember. The quiet walks, the noisy fun, the ballroom prize we almost won. We will have these moments to remember. Though summer turns to winter and the present disappears, will echo through the years. When other nights and other days may find us gone our separate ways, we will have these moments to
some moments at the drive-in show where they'd go and somehow never watch the show. Cool off this hot summer weekend with something cool from Paterno Formos Liquors at 5303 Milwaukee Avenue at Central, just north of Foster. You'll find everything you need because Paterno is Chicagoland's one-stop beverage center for domestic and imported wines, beers, cordials, soft drinks, whatever. Be sure to mention this program. Get a big 10% savings on fifth and quart wine purchases from Paterno Foremost Liquors. Open Monday through Saturday from 9 in the morning till 10 at night. Sundays from noon until 8. Paterno Foremost, 5303 Milwaukee at Central, just north of Foster. This is Chuck Shaden in the Hall Closet. We'll be back with Mr. Keene and lots more after the news break.
You know, a man's world is small and getting smaller every day, but there are certain things you still do. You still say what you think, you still pay for the drinks, and beach nuts the tobacco you chew. Weird ideas taking hold, kids won't do what they're told, who knows what this old world's coming to. But you keep your face to the wind, you don't quit on a friend, and beach nuts the tobacco you chew. Seems like a man's world just isn't the same anymore, but some things you can still trust, like beech nut chewing tobacco. Beech nut just keeps on getting better. Beech nut's a lot moister these days, with more taste, less stems. Today's beech nut, fresher, longer-lasting flavor. You ought to try it. Girls in bars, girls in pants, a man just don't stand a chance, but there's still ways to show 'em who's who. You treat your dogs with respect, you keep your traps oiled and checked, and beech nut's the tobacco you chew.
WLTD, Evanston.
Good morning, it's 9 a.m. and now Mutual News on the Hour presented by Bank of Lincolnwood.
President Nixon is under treatment at Bethesda Naval Hospital just outside Washington. There's this late dramatic move on Capitol Hill. Mutual's Bill Greenwood.
Senate Watergate Chairman Sam Ervin says he'll meet with President Nixon on Saturday at the Bethesda Naval Hospital. The meeting will focus on a request by the Watergate Committee for presidential documents dealing with the scandal, background briefing papers, press news digests, and the files of top presidential aides. Ervin says he hopes the meeting can get to the bottom of the controversy.
The chief executive was taken to the medical facility last night by motor car after he complained of a chest pain. Doctors have diagnosed the illness as viral pneumonia and say the president may be hospitalized for 5 or 6 days. A medical briefing is scheduled this morning at the hospital. A Maryland state legislature under indictment on federal narcotics charges was found shot to death this morning in Baltimore. James Scott was found in the basement garage of his apartment. This is comprehensive news from Mutual Radio. I'm Tom Woods.
Where they serve you better, one call can see you through. At a full service bank, you'll do better. We offer more for you. We'll bend over backwards to serve you.
Bank of Lincolnwood, serving you better with full-service banking, checking, statement savings, low-cost auto loans, personal loans, and personal interest in you for all your banking needs. Bank of Lincolnwood, where people act and react on your behalf. Bank of Lincolnwood, convenient drive-in tellers open 65 hours a week, 8 to 8 Monday through Friday, 8 to 1 on Saturday. Bank of Lincolnwood, Dewey and Lincoln Avenues across from the Hyatt House. We'll bend over backwards to serve you. Bank of Lincolnwood, member FDIC.
We'll bend over backwards to serve you.
President Hector Campora and his vice president resigned today to allow new elections that appear certain to bring Juan Perón back to power in Argentina. There are celebrations in Northern Ireland. Reuters' Patrick Carville has more.
An estimated 100,000 persons took part in the traditional orange celebrations in Northern Ireland to mark the 283rd anniversary of the Battle of the Boyne. Led by 95 bands playing Protestant tunes, 20,000 orange men walked through the center of Belfast to a rallying point 6 miles south of the capital.
The Watergate hearings continue today here in Washington with presidential aide Richard Moore continuing his testimony. He's expected to discuss events about which he says his memory is hazy. He told the committee yesterday he was not involved in the cover-up and does not believe the president knew about it. Those two Canadian truce observers due to be released by the communists tomorrow. Writer's Chris Peterson has more.
It looks as if two Canadian truce observers missing in a rubber plantation for over 2 weeks will be returned tomorrow. The Viet Cong have been holding the two since they were stopped at a communist roadblock some 35 miles from Saigon, said that a joint Canadian-Hungarian team could go into the area tomorrow to pick them up.
The National Transportation Board has released its finding on the plane crash that killed baseball star Roberto Clemente, a spokesman saying,
tragically and ironically, there is in the board's
record of its investigation, the report of an eyewitness to the loading of the aircraft, who said he told Mr. Clementi that it was improperly loaded and unsafe. And his reply, according to this witness, was that he didn't know anything about this and presumed the plane was being loaded properly.
Secretary of State William Rogers will leave for Tokyo today on an economic exchange with Japanese leaders. You're listening to Mutual News.
The leaders in the third round of the British Open have late tee-offs. Tom Weisskopf shot a 5-under par 65 yesterday to hold a 3-shot lead over U.S. Open champ Johnny Miller and Bert Yancey. Defending champion Ben Crenshaw heads the field going into the quarterfinals of the Trans-Mississippi Golf Tournament at Hutchinson, Kansas. And the ballot box is closed, but it may be next week before the third outfielder in the National League All-Star lineup is determined. Right now, it's a toss-up between Bobby Bonds of the Giants and Cesar Cardona of the Astros. Weather-wise in the area, partly sunny and humid with a chance of thunderstorms. Highs will be in the middle 90s this afternoon. Lows this evening in the middle 60s. And on Saturday, partly sunny and cooler. Highs in the middle 80s. Right now along the lakeshore, 80 degrees. Officially at Midway, 79, and the humidity 69%. WLTD Mutual News on the Hour is brought to you by Bank of Lincolnwood, 2E and Lincoln Avenues, across from the Hyatt House, with drive-in banking hours 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. Bank of Lincolnwood, growing with you and our neighbor, Federal Life Insurance Company.
This is Mutual, your news and sports radio network.
Hi, this is Fred Robbins on Assignment Hollywood with a compelling and versatile actor, Peter Boyle. I'll be with him in just a moment.
Did you say God? Well, I know him by everything you say and do. Did you say God? Well, I've seen him every time I look at you. He's touched you with his love and with his truth.
States itself simply, joyfully. Sunrise, cello sounds, the face of a child. Our song is saying, God touches you with his love. Pass it on. This message is brought to you by Religion in American Life in cooperation with this station.
His hand in your hand in my hand. Can you hear the music say? Sisters and brothers loving each other.
During the production of the film Slither with James Caan and Sally Kellerman, Peter Boyle talked about his role in this comedy thriller.
You've been on a campaign trail with a candidate, and now you've been on a campaign trail with Jimmy Caan, huh?
That's right, and Jimmy Caan will be elected, believe me.
A better way, right?
Yes, yeah.
Up and down the coast. Where have you been on this picture?
We've been up in Santa Rosa, we've been in Mendocino, Fort Bragg, and L.A., various places around L.A., the Sherman Oaks Shopping Center, the Masonic Hall on Venice Boulevard, just this, you know, all the glamour spots, and it was really fun.
Interesting to see how you're varying your roles picture after picture, you know, as the campaign manager.
Sort of my obsession, I guess.
What kind of part is this one in Slither?
A guy who's basically a big band musician. And at one point in the past, and probably when, you know, rock and roll just took over popular music, got into the rock and roll business, and together with a partner of his, a musician friend, they embezzled a lot of money from the agency, and they got panicked. One guy gets caught. I never get caught. But we send the money away to through messengers to somebody who's supposed to watch it for us. And when Jimmy comes to me, he has the name of the man who has the money, and I have the town in which the guy lives. So
like two parts of a ticket, huh?
Yeah. See, my partner has been killed with getting out of jail with Jimmy, and in his dying words to tell him where the money was. So this scene here is where he comes up to my house, and since I'm lead a normal life to all intents and purposes, but in reality I'm covering the fact that I'm an embezzler and a wanted man, I can't take any chances. So that's what the whole thing is about. I have a little house here, I have a trailer and a camper, and I have a little band, and I play at little local functions and parties and dances, and all the musicians, you know, are all over 40.
And this is all just a cover up until the right time to get the money.
Well, he's really into bands, he really loves it, and, you know, he loves being a band leader, he also does a little comedy with the band, And he really loves entertainment and show business, but he always has this, you know, he's a dreamer. He's a dreamer and a builder. He's into his tools and his camper and his little devices that he's building. But he's always this sort of man who's always a little too hip for what he's doing and a little too dumb to quite pull off his dreams, you know. He's an interesting guy. He's very likable. You know, from this point on, there's a little sort of suspense thing because we go to look for the money and sort of strange things happen.
And that from Peter Boyle during a break in shooting on the set of Slither in Hollywood. This is Fred Robbins on Assignment Hollywood.
Well, here we are, sweltering away in one of those infamous Chicago heat waves. No time for small talk. We want you to know we're ready for you at Polk Brothers. 10,000 brand name air conditioners for any window, all sizes, all the top brands. Carrier, Frigidaire, General Electric, Whirlpool, Admiral, Amana, Westinghouse, Chrysler, Hotpoint, Fetters. Experts to help you select the right one. Very important. Giant Polk size trade-in allowances, even right now in the midst of the rush. Your choice of credit plans if you wish. Just drive over to your nearest Polk store tonight, pick yours up, take it home, install it yourself in a few minutes. Press the magic button and zap, the heat wave is over for you. What a blessing. No need to call, just come on over to Polk's tonight till 10 or on Sunday till 6. If you live west, drive to our newest Polk store in Glen Ellen on Roosevelt Road between Park Boulevard and Main.
It is so wonderful. It is so very good when you are listening to, listening to WLTD 1590.
Good morning, this is Chuck Shaden back with you in the Hall Closet. Today and every day, Monday through Friday from 7 until 10 with the good sounds of good listening. And we'll be listening in to Mr. Keen, Tracer of Lost Persons, in just a little while from now. And we'll also be listening right now to sounds from the 1957 Columbia picture, Pal Joey, with Frank Sinatra, Kim Novak, and Rita Hayworth. Here's Bewitched.
A fool, and don't I know it? But a fool can have her charms. I'm in love, and don't I show it? Like a babe in arms. Love's the same old sad sensation. Lately, I've not slept a wink since this silly situation has me on the blink. I'm wild again, beguiled again, a simpering, whimpering child again, bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. Couldn't sleep, wouldn't sleep. Love came and told me, shouldn't sleep, bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. I lost my heart, but what of it? She is cold, I agree. She might laugh, but I love it. Although the laugh's on I'll sing to her, bring spring to her, and long for the day when I'll cling to her, bewitched, bothered, and bewildered.
That's great, huh? Frank Sinatra from the 1957 Columbia picture, Pal Joey. Good, good. More, a little bit of more music, a little bit of more music from that coming up soon, right after a couple of messages, and then we'll get into Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons. It's quarter after nine. Weatherman says partly sunny, hot, and humid today. Chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. High in the middle 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy. Again, that chance of thunderstorms will continue. Be a bit cooler, low in the middle 60s. You know, you can't really argue too much if it gets up to 90 in the afternoon and down into the 60s in the evening. At least that's a break for you. Partly sunny and cooler tomorrow, less humid, high in the mid-80s. 82 right now along the lakefront, 83 at O'Hare, 84 officially at Midway. The humidity is 55%, and the wind is out of the southwest at 14 miles an hour. Here's a message for you now from our cassette tape of the month collection in our hall closet. Every month we offer a tape with two 30-minute programs on it, two half-hour shows from the golden age of radio. The tape for July features William Bendix as Chester A. Riley in The Life of Riley and Jack Benny, a funny Jack Benny program. Two complete shows. Now, if you would like to have this cassette tape of the month for the month of July, send $4.95 to the Hall Closet, Box 421, Morton Grove, Illinois, 60053. That's $4.95 to the Hall Closet, Box 421, Morton Grove, 60053. Your cassette tape of the month will be rushed on its way to you, and there's no further obligation. If you'd like our cassette tape for next month, tune in August and order again. Nothing is sent automatically. So don't forget now to get your cassette of the month for July. That's The Life of Riley and the Jack Benny program. Send $4.95 to the Hall Closet, Box 421, Morton Grove, 60053. If you order the July cassette, we'll also send you a list of previous cassettes that are still available. And if you don't want the July cassette but you'd like that list, just send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Hall Closet, Box 421, Morton Grove, 60053.
What a life. I wish the earth would open up and swallow me.
I wouldn't say that if I were you.
Who's that?
It is I, Dickie O'Dell, the friendly undertaker.
Oh, hello, Digger.
Greetings, Riley. You're looking fine. Very natural.
That's Riley and Digby O'Dell on our cassette of the month from July. Just a brief clip from The Life of Riley, plus the Jack Benny Show. Send $4.95 to the Hall Closet, Box 421, Morton Grove, 60053.
You can see three of the most beloved plays of our time, productions highlighting the great nostalgic years from 1915 through 1950, and all three for only $4.50. The Northwestern University Theater proudly presents the Northwestern Drama Festival, July 12th through August 11th. And in this, its 19th season, presenting Thornton Wilder's Our Town, Lucky Jim by Kingsley Amis, and Mosshart's Light Up the Sky. Return with the Drama Festival to those nostalgic days of yesteryear as these three productions unfold beneath the stars at Northwestern's enchanting outdoor garden theater. All plays start at 8:30 p.m. and will be staged on a rotating basis July 12th through August 11th. For tickets and further information, contact the Northwestern University Theater at 492-7282. That's 492-7282. Remember Our Town, Lucky Jim, and Light Up the Sky during the 19th edition of the Northwestern Drama Festival.
Thank you.
Attention, nostalgia buffs.
They're recreating New Orleans right here in Illinois.
Picture it.
With a dozen kinds of old-time fun your family will enjoy.
Ah, yeah.
It's a home site, haven, playground, unlike anything you've seen.
And the name, pray tell.
New Landing for the Delta Queen.
Ah, yeah.
The New Landing for the Delta Queen is a unique recreational community right here in Illinois, a few miles west in riverboat country. 1,700 unspoiled acres of woods, hills, rock formations, a river, a 100-acre lake, camping, and loads of fresh air. They're building a clubhouse replica of the famous Delta Queen. It's a private recreational hideaway, and it's just 90 minutes away. For information about New Landing and a free family fun weekend booklet, call Chicago 649-0808. That's 649-0808. Permission to use the name Delta Queen granted by Green Line Steamers.
Same. I got a future, a rosy future. You can be sure I'll be tops. I'm independent, I'm no dependent, and I'll own a nightclub that's tops. I'll be in with the cops. What do I care for the skirts? What do I care for the skirts? I'll make them pay till it hurts. Let them put up till it hurts. I am gonna own a nightclub. It's gonna be the right club for the swell gentry. It's elementary. I'll wear top hat and cane.
It's Hey Joey, now Hey Joey, the gay Joey.
I can see it plain.
the simple secret of the plot is just to tell them that I love you a lot. Then the world discovers as my book ends how to make two lovers a friend.
The End. That's the Columbia movie, 1957. Frank Sinatra, Kim Novak, and Rita Hayworth in Pal Joey. We've been enjoying the sounds of Broadway, or rather of Hollywood, this week. Every week, shortly after 9 o'clock, we go to Hollywood or Broadway or to Carnegie Hall or to Las Vegas or to the Palladium in London or wherever to enjoy, once again, the sounds of not so long ago. This is Chuck Shaden in the Hall Closet from WLTD, 29 minutes after 9, 82 degrees along the lakefront. This is WLTD 1590. Passbook savings at Northwest Federal Savings earn a giant 5.25% per year now, 5.25% on regular passbook savings. There is no higher passbook savings rate available anywhere in Chicagoland, so it pays to stay with or move up to Northwest Federal Savings. 4901 West Irving Park Road, that's about a block west of Cicero on Irving Park Road. If some of the new savings rates are confusing to you, Northwest Federal Savings will unconfuse them. Give them a buzz at Spring 7, 7200, or drop in Northwest Federal Savings, 4901 Irving Park Road, one block west of Cicero. Well, let's see. This is our Hall Closet program. Did you see the Action Express in the Tribune this morning? A party who is keen on Mr. Keene from the Newtown area wrote a note to Action Express and said, one of my favorite old-time radio shows was Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons. I can recall as a kid sitting there in suspense, nibbling my fingernails with excitement as Keene tracked the dastardly villain and wrapped up each case. Can you get the show revived just for me? Well, we're happy to assist our pals over at Action Express and revive the show, as we revive so many good old shows all the time here, something like 20-some hours a week on WLTD, replaying the good old programs from the golden age of radio. We're going back now to the Bride and Groom Murder Case, Part 1 of Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons.
Time now for Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons. Now for Mr. Keene and the Bride and Groom Murder Case. Our scene opens in a roof garden restaurant, which is located atop a 14-story building in mid-Manhattan. The dance floor is crowded with gay people, while at a small table in the corner, a young man and his lovely young bride gaze out of the large window at the breathtaking skyline, which is New York after dark. The skyline that is soon destined to become a backdrop for horror.
Oh, what a fascinating restaurant this is, Roy.
It's one of the most popular in New York, Olivia.
Just look at that view through the window.
Yeah, there's a terrace that goes around the roof. It isn't very cold this evening. Would you like to go out and see what New York looks like at night?
Oh, I'd love to, darling.
Okay, let's go. Out this door.
Oh, Roy. What a heavenly view.
Yeah, this roof garden restaurant is on the 14th floor. You can see most of Manhattan from here. Oh. There's Central Park. And Broadway's over there. See the lights?
Mm-hmm.
You're happy, darling?
Very happy, Roy.
This is one honeymoon that's going to last forever. Oh, great Scott, I forgot to phone my mother.
Must you do it now?
Oh, you know how Mother is, Olivia. I'd better give her a ring at her hotel. Will you wait here on the terrace for me? I won't be long.
All right, Roy.
I'll make the conversation a short one.
Oh, I never dreamed the city could look so romantic at night. Roy? Is that you? What are you doing? What's the matter with you? No! No! Let go of me! Let me go! Don't leave me! No!
When I returned to the terrace, Mr. Keene, there was a crowd there. That's when I learned that Olivia, my bride, had been pushed off the roof to her death on the street below.
Were there any witnesses, Roy?
Well, if someone had seen the killer, I wouldn't have come to you, Mr. Keene. The case would be an easy one for the police to solve.
But if there were no witnesses, young fella, how do you know it was murder?
Olivia would never have killed herself.
My partner, Mike Clancy, didn't mean it that way, Roy.
Maybe she slipped or lost her balance.
Well, that couldn't have happened. The railing around the terrace was several feet high. Besides, the police are almost certain it was murder.
Why, Roy?
Well, there was a slight drizzle in the air last night, Mr. Keene, and there were footprints near the spot where Olivia was standing. The police deduced from the footprints that Olivia must have struggled before she was pushed over the rail.
I see.
We'd only been married a week, Mr. Keene. We'd come to New York on our honeymoon. Olivia was the most wonderful girl I've ever known.
You mustn't let this tragedy ruin your own life, Roy. You're young. You've got to learn to live with your sorrow.
It would make it a great deal easier, Mr. Keene, if I could get my hands on whoever killed my wife.
That job will be mine and Mike Clancy's. Now tell me, do you or your wife have any friends or relatives in New York?
Olivia's half-brother lives here with his wife. Those are the only people we know in New York. My home is in Cleveland, Mr. Keene.
Have you seen your wife's half-brother recently?
Yes, he invited Olivia and me to dinner the night before last. We only arrived in New York on Monday.
Oh. While you were telling me the story just now, you said you left your bride on the terrace and went to telephone your mother. Does she live in New York?
No, but she arrived here yesterday. Mother's a buyer for a department store, and my father is dead. Mother's semi-annual buying trip to New York happened to coincide with our honeymoon.
I suppose the news of your wife's death shocked her.
Oh, Mother was terribly shocked, Mr. Keene. I've been worrying about her, too. You see, she just got out of a hospital.
Oh? What was wrong with her, Roy?
She was run down and needed a rest. But she recovered quickly and went back to her job.
I see. Now, is there anything else you might be able to tell us? For instance, did your wife have any enemies that you know of?
No, Mr. Keene. I can't imagine who would want to harm her. All I ask is that you put this killer, whoever he is, behind bars.
We'll do our utmost, Roy. Where are you staying?
At the Hotel Barrage. Mother's staying there, too.
And your brother-in-law? Where does he live?
Elliot Warwick and his wife live at 975 East 60th.
Take that down, will you, Mike?
Right, boss.
We'll get in touch with you very soon, Roy.
Very well, Mr. Keene. Goodbye, sir. Goodbye, Mr. Clancy.
So long, young fella.
Goodbye, Roy.
Oh, sure, it must be a terrible blow to lose a wife, Mr. Keene. And on a honeymoon, too.
Yes, Roy Farnham is a very unhappy young man right now, Mike. I'll take it. Hello?
Is this Mr. Keene?
Yes.
My name is Elliot Warwick. My half-sister was murdered last night. She was pushed off a roof. It hasn't been reported in the papers yet.
I'm familiar with the tragedy, Mr. Warwick.
You are?
Your brother-in-law just left my office.
Roy Farnham, what did he want?
He asked me to investigate the case on his behalf.
You would.
How do you mean, Mr. Warwick?
Did he tell you his wife, my half-sister, was an heiress? And did he say that he only holds down a $60 a week job?
What would that have to do with his wife's murder?
Roy Farnham inherits $1 million from Olivia. I called you myself, Mr. Keene, to ask you to investigate the case. If you could come over to my house now, I'll give you a few facts that might surprise you.
In that case, Mr. Warwick, I'll lose no time in getting over there. I have your address. Roy Farnham gave it to me.
I'll be waiting for you. Goodbye, Mr. Keene.
Goodbye.
What's up, boss?
Mike, that was Olivia Farnham's half-brother, Elliot Warwick. He implied that Roy Farnham himself might have killed his wife for her money.
Saints preserve us. Roy didn't look like that kind of a lad.
Well, we're certainly going to investigate. At the same time, it'll give us an opportunity to see how Elliot Warwick and his wife fit into this case.
Come in, Mr. Keene. Mr. Clancy.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Warwick.
Jane!
What is it, Elliot?
Mr. Keene and his partner are here.
I hope we're not disturbing your wife, Mr. Warwick.
Well, she's been feeling irritable and out of sorts lately, but it's nothing serious. Jane, this is Mr. Keene and Mr. Clancy, the famous investigators.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you, ma'am.
You know why they're here, Jane.
Yes, Elliot. To investigate your sister Olivia's death. Well, I'm going to put my cards on the table, Mr. Keene, and you can take it any way you wish. I didn't like my husband's sister. And her death doesn't break my heart.
How can you talk that way, Jane?
Elliot, I'm no hypocrite. Olivia and I meant nothing to each other, and I'm willing to admit it.
You're very frank, Mrs. Warwick.
Mr. Keene, you'd have found that out yourself in any case. And I refuse to put myself in an embarrassing position.
To say nothing of a suspicious one?
If you're suggesting that I'm a murderer, Mr. Clancy, why don't you put me under arrest?
Oh, just a moment, Mrs. Warwick. You're not under suspicion. My partner and I only want your cooperation, nothing more.
Sure, and maybe I talked a bit out of turn, Mrs. Warwick. I'm sorry.
That's quite all right, Mr. Clancy. I don't believe I can help you, Mr. Keene. Perhaps Elliot can. If you don't mind now, I'd prefer to rest for a while. I have a splitting headache.
Go right ahead, Mrs. Warwick.
I'll lie down inside, Elliot.
All right, dear.
Your wife's face looks familiar, Mr. Warwick.
You may have seen her on the screen, Mr. Keene. She was a featured player in Hollywood before we married.
Oh, she's given up her screen career?
For my sake.
Well, Mr. Warwick, if you don't mind, I'd like a more thorough explanation of what you suggested over the telephone. You said that Roy Farnham inherits a large fortune from his murdered wife, Olivia?
Yes, Mr. Keene. Olivia married Roy only a few days before she was thrown off that roof and killed. Automatically, he becomes the heir to her estate, which is valued at over $1 million.
$1 million estate?
Yes, Mr. Clancy. To make myself clear, I'm accusing Roy of having murdered my half-sister for her money.
You have any proof, Mr. Warwick?
Proof? What more do you need than that, Mr. Keene? He was with Olivia on that terrace at the Roof Garden restaurant, wasn't he?
That doesn't mean he pushed her to her death.
Well, I'm just telling you what I know. And the girl has an estate worth $1 million.
Mr. Warwick, did you share in that estate as Olivia's half-brother?
Why, no. It was left to Olivia by her father, who was my stepfather. We didn't get along. I moved from Cleveland to New York several years ago and lost touch with the family.
Your accusation is a grave one, Mr. Warwick. And in order to be fair to Roy Farnham, I think I must tell him about it.
I'm not afraid of him.
All right. Do you intend to leave this house today?
No.
Then I'll phone you later. I may want to speak to you again in Roy's presence. Come along, Mike. Please say goodbye to your wife for us, Mr. Warwick.
For just a moment, Mr. Keene.
Yes?
Nothing. I forgot what I was going to say.
Goodbye, Mr. Warwick.
Goodbye.
So long, mister.
Well, Mike, we've got something to work on at any rate.
Well, boss, do you think that this fellow Warwick knew what he was talking about? Accusing Roy Farnham of murdering his own wife?
We'll soon find out when we speak to Roy Farnham once more. Let's go over to his hotel right now.
Mr. Keene, Mr. Clancy.
I'm getting in touch with you sooner than I expected, Roy.
Well, come in. My mother is here with me.
Who is it, Roy?
Mr. Keene and Mr. Clancy, Mother.
Mr. Keene, the great investigator.
I told you I'd gone to consult him about Olivia's death.
I'm very glad to know you, Mr. Keene, and you, Mr. Clancy.
Pleased to meet you.
How do you do, Mrs. Farnham? My reason for coming here isn't a very happy one. And I was hoping I'd be able to speak to your son Roy alone.
What is it, Mr. Keene? Do you have any news concerning Olivia's murder?
Perhaps.
You can say what you like in front of me, Mr. Keene. My son Roy and I have never had any secrets from each other.
In that case, I'll be frank. Roy, you've been accused of your wife's murder.
What? Like, that's insane.
Who accused me, Mr. Keene?
Your brother-in-law, Elliot Warwick.
Oh, naturally. Mr. Keene, he hates my son.
Does he, Mrs. Farnham? Why?
Because of Olivia's money. He knows my boy will inherit it now that she's gone.
Mother, let's not talk about that now, please.
Why not, Roy? We want to be honest with Mr. Keene, don't we?
I'm hoping you will be, Mrs. Farnham.
But Mr. Keene, Elliot Warwick was in the process of suing his sister Olivia when she married Roy.
For part of her estate?
Yes. He wanted to have his stepfather's will declared invalid, but he didn't get very far. However, now that his half-sister Olivia is dead, I'm sure he thinks he's got a better chance to share in her money.
I'd say he has a very good chance, Mrs. Farnham. But at the same time, he's going to try to make trouble for your son, Roy.
Oh, no. No, he can't do that. My son's innocent, and he loved that girl. He even loved her more than he... Oh, Mother. I feel faint.
She's passing out.
I've got her. Mother, what's the matter? Mother! I'll carry her inside, Mr. Keene. Would you please call the house physician?
I will, Roy.
Mr. Keene, wait a minute. Look at this.
What is it, Mike?
This drawer near the telephone's half open. Look what's inside.
It's a revolver.
And a big one. Now, what would a young fellow like Roy Farnham be doing with a gun like this?
It's just one of the questions we're going to find an answer for, Mike, after the doctor treats his mother.
Saints preserve us, Mr. Keene. That's the Bride and Groom murder case, and we'll have the last half of that show on our hall closet from WLTD in just a moment.
Would you like a free automatic ice maker this summer? Just come on in and see us before August 31st.
It's gonna be a long, hot summer, and Frigidaire can make it nice. We'll get you through the long, hot summer, and keep your family in ice.
Here's how you can put your family in ice all summer long. Now we can give you a Frigidaire automatic ice maker free when you buy one of Frigidaire's popular size 15.2 or 17 cubic foot U-model custom imperial refrigerators. All you pay is the plumbing installation. So come on in and see us today. We'll put your summer on ice.
Team up with Frigidaire this summer and keep your family in ice.
Now you can save another $10, $20, or $25 on a Frigidaire appliance through the 15th of this month from Townhouse TV and Appliances, 7243 West Toohey Avenue, just west of Harlem. Townhouse is open Monday, Thursday, Friday nights till 9, Saturday until 6. And don't forget about that Lum and Abner long-playing record. Only 99 cents a pair of Lum and Abner shows on a single LP for only 99 cents at Townhouse TV and Appliances, Chicagoland's leading Frigidaire dealer.
Mr. Keene, the famous investigator, and his partner Mike Clancy are investigating the death of pretty Olivia Farnham, a bride of less than a week, who was pushed from the terrace of a restaurant located 14 stories above the ground. At the moment, Mr. Keene and Mike are in the hotel suite occupied by the victim's husband, Roy, whose mother has just had a sudden fainting spell on hearing that her son may be implicated in the crime. A doctor has arrived, and after treating Mrs. Farnham, has left. And now, in the living room of Roy Farnham's hotel suite.
Has the doctor gone, Mr. Keene?
Yes, Roy.
I was afraid Mother had a heart attack, but I guess it was nothing serious. She seems to be much better.
She should be, young fella. There's nothing like a phony faint to get a chance to take things easy.
I beg your pardon?
What my partner Mike Clancy refers to, Roy, is what the doctor just told us. Your mother didn't faint. She only pretended to.
But that's fantastic. Mother was upset, Mr. Keene, because you were putting me under suspicion of having killed my wife.
Suppose we question her about that now.
There's no need for that, Mr. Keene.
Mother!
The doctor was right.
But why? Why did you do it, Mother?
I think I can answer that, Roy, with your mother's permission. By the way she behaves, I'd say she was very attached to you.
My son means more to me than anything else in the world, Mr. Keene. I only made believe I was ill to gain time for him to answer those terrible accusations.
Mrs. Farnham, is your last sojourn in the hospital another method of gaining time?
What do you mean?
Your son Roy told me you were ill and had to go to the hospital just before he was married. What hospital were you in, may I ask?
The Central in Cleveland.
Mike, would you get them on the long-distance phone?
Right away, boss.
Just a moment, Mr. Keene. Why do you want to call the hospital?
To inquire about the nature of your illness.
No.
But, Mother, there's nothing to be worried about.
Or is there, Mrs. Farnham?
Mr. Keene, I only pretended to be ill. I was trying to stop my son Roy's marriage to Olivia.
Mother, you don't mean it.
I left the hospital, Roy, and followed you and Olivia to New York.
Mrs. Farnham, you mean you were so angry with your son for having married? You came here to try and separate him and his bride?
Yes, yes. Roy is my son. He belongs to me. Oh, go on, arrest me, Mr. Keene. I was at that roof garden when Olivia was murdered. Arrest me for the crime.
Mother!
You phoned me at the hotel, didn't you, Roy? And you got no answer. Well, I followed you. I'd heard you mention at that dinner party that you intended to go to the roof garden last night, and I went there, too.
What dinner party are you referring to, Mrs. Farnham? The one the Warwicks gave?
Yes, Mr. Keene. Olivia's half-brother invited me, too. Well, what are you waiting for? I'm confessing to Olivia's murder. Why don't you turn me over to the police?
Because I don't believe you.
You don't?
Perhaps you were at the restaurant when your daughter-in-law was killed. But you'd have never murdered her yourself.
Why do you say that, Mr. Keene?
Because suspicion for the crime would have fallen on your son. And I'm sure you do nothing to get him into trouble. No, Mrs. Fine. You're only trying to protect him now. And I want to know why.
Mother, why are you trying to protect me this way?
Be quiet, son.
Mrs. Farnham, unless you tell me the truth, I'll have to put your son under arrest for the crime.
Because that idiot Elliot Warwick accused him of killing Olivia for her inheritance?
And also because of a gun we found just now in that drawer. Show it to them, Mike.
It's as big as a cannon, mister.
Is that gun yours, Roy?
Yes, Mother, it is. But I have a license for it, Mr. Keene. I've carried it for months, for my own protection.
Has anyone threatened you?
I've had a hunch that trouble was in store for me.
Hunches don't count in a court of law, Roy. A jury might think you carried this gun to use on your wife in the event another means of killing her had failed.
Oh, no. No, don't say that.
Mrs. Farnham, I'm willing to help your son, Roy, if he is innocent. But you're hiding something from me, and I've got to know the facts.
Tell Mr. Keene everything, Mother. I have nothing to be afraid of.
Very well. Mr. Keene, the part about my being in the restaurant was the truth. Some insanely jealous reaction made me follow my son around wherever he went with his wife.
Go on, Mrs. Farnham.
I saw him go out on the terrace with Olivia. Then I heard a scream. I rushed around to the back of the terrace. Olivia had fallen to the street.
Did you see anyone else there on the terrace?
No, Mr. Keene, but I found something.
What was it you found?
It's in my handbag. I'll get it.
Mr. Keene, my mother didn't see me there on the terrace because I was inside making my phone call to her.
Yes, I remember you told me that, Roy.
She had complained of not feeling well, and I had promised to phone.
Mr. Keene, I'm trusting you with my son's life when I show you this. Here.
Well, it's a ring, boss.
Yes, Mike, a man's gold ring.
It has my daughter-in-law Olivia's family crest on it. I knew she'd given it to Roy. I found it on the spot where Olivia must have been standing before she was thrown from the roof.
Is this ring yours, Roy?
It looks like mine, Mr. Keene.
And your wife gave it to you?
Well, there were two rings like that in her family. One was Olivia's and the other was her half-brother Elliot's. Olivia had hers made larger and gave it to me to wear. But I can't imagine how that ring got into the restaurant. I lost mine 2 weeks ago.
But then, Roy, maybe that ring is Elliot Warwick's.
Sure, that excuse is a thin one if you ask me, boss. Roy could have lost that ring all right when he pushed his wife over the roof and she put up a struggle.
That's not true, Mr. Clancy.
Let me see your hand, Roy. There's one thing I will say. This ring will lead me to Olivia Farnham's murderer.
Roy, he doesn't believe us. Mr. Keene doesn't believe us.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Keene. Mr. Clancy.
Good evening, Mr. Warwick.
Well, did you accuse Roy Farnham of murdering my half-sister?
Yes, I told him you had accused him, and he in turn accused you.
What? He accused me? What's he trying to do, cover for himself?
Mr. Warwick, I understand you were suing your sister to break your stepfather's will.
Why, yes, but that's ancient history. I made up with Olivia long ago.
Because you realized your lawsuit wasn't strong enough?
I don't see...
However, now that she's dead, I imagine you'll bring suit again. This time against her husband, Roy Farnham, claiming a share of Olivia's estate.
I have more of a right to that money than he has.
Tell me something, Mr. Warren. Did Olivia leave any life insurance?
Not very much.
Just how much?
$50,000.
Not much, did you say? $50,000.
And who is the beneficiary?
He is, Mr. Keene.
Jane.
Oh, it's you, Mrs. Warwick.
Elliot, you may as well admit the truth to Mr. Keene. You're finished in this murder case.
How can you talk like that, Jane, about me? Your husband, the man you love.
The man I love. Ha! Don't make me laugh. I married you, Elliot, because you filled me full of lies. Lies about your inheriting $500,000. But it was your half-sister, Olivia, who inherited the money. And you knew she would all the time.
Is that true, Elliot?
Mr. Keene, I was madly in love with Jane, and I had to make her my wife.
Yes, at the cost of my Hollywood career. I quit pictures because of your promises, Elliot. And all I got were lies. Go on, Mr. Keene. Put him under arrest. He killed his sister because she made him her insurance beneficiary. She felt sorry for him because he was too stupid to hold a good job.
Jane, don't say that.
She left him $50,000 in insurance money.
I'd say that insurance was definitely one of the motives for murder, Mrs. Warwick.
Then why don't you arrest Elliot, Mr. Keene? He wasn't even home the night his half-sister was murdered.
And where were you, Mrs. Warwick?
I was at home.
Can anyone else prove that besides yourself?
Why do I have to prove it?
Because I have some very interesting evidence in regard to Olivia Farnham's murderer. Mr. Warwick, do you recognize this ring? I believe it has your family crest on it.
Why, it looks like the ring I gave to Jane.
It's a lie.
Well, don't you remember, Jane? Olivia had a ring like that, and so did I. There was a family tradition about those rings. We were each supposed to give them to our future marriage partners when we were engaged.
Then Roy Farnham had one too, Mr. Keene.
Yes, given to him by his wife. However, this is not the ring he received.
How do you know?
It's much too small for a man's finger. Mr. Warwick, let me see your finger.
That ring doesn't fit any of my fingers, Mr. Keene.
But I'll wager it fits your wife.
Don't touch me.
Oh, take it easy, lady.
Mr. Keene, are you saying that Jane... That my wife...
I'm saying that your wife murdered your sister for the same reason she tried to blame the murder on you. Money. She evidently married you, thinking you were heir to a fortune. Then tried to make you one by killing your sister. Not only would you and she have gained Olivia's insurance, but the possibility of sharing her estate as well.
Don't come near me, any of you.
This ring came off your wife's hand when Olivia struggled for her life, to keep from being pushed off the roof garden.
No, no.
You were very clever, Mrs. Warwick. When I first met you, you used a sly psychology. You thought if you candidly admitted disliking your sister-in-law and casting a slight suspicion on yourself, you disarmed the authorities and me. Most murderers do everything they can to hide their guilt.
Jane, I can't believe it of you.
Your wife was worried when I returned here tonight, Mr. Warwick. And to save herself, she tried to pin the murder on you. All right, Mike. You can put the handcuffs on Jane Warwick.
Right, boss.
You'll never be able to take me to prison. Do you understand?
Boss, look out. She's picked up a fire poker.
Afraid of me, aren't you? Well, why don't you come and get me?
Mr. Keene, she fell through the window. It's 9 stories to the ground.
And sure, that's justice for you.
Yes, Mike. Jane Warwick, at the same fate she dealt her victim. You'd better go down there to the street. Meanwhile, I'll call police headquarters and tell them we found Olivia Farnham's murderer and the case is closed.
And so Mr. Keene finds the solution to the bride and groom murder case.
Mr. Keene, tracer of lost persons. A good story for you on a good Friday, the Friday the 13th, July 1973. This is Chuck Shaden in the Hall Closet, and we've got stuff like that all the time here at the 1590 spot on your dial. Tell you a little bit about what's happening this weekend on our Those Were the Days program from 1 until 5 on Saturday afternoons. We've got the Radio's Main Street. We're going to travel to 79 Wistful Vista for Fibber McGee and Molly, and we'll be having a nice lengthy conversation with Jim Jordan, Radio's Fibber McGee. We'll also go to the small house halfway up the next block for Vic and Sade, to the Jot 'em Down store with Lum and Abner. Boris Karloff is going to be in the Inner Sanctum, and Bela Lugosi and John Carradine in the Mystery House. That's this Saturday afternoon from 1 until 5 on our Those Were the Days program. Saturday morning, it's Radio for Kids, and we'll have Space Patrol playing its way into your heart tomorrow, too. This afternoon at 6:30, it's the Summer Radio Theater, and we'll have Richard Widmark starring in The Enchanted Cottage on the Hallmark Playhouse. We'll also be sitting in for Mike Schwimmer on The Yesterday Shop between 4 and 6:30, and we'll be playing some trivia with you, along with the big band sounds and the big band singers, too. So we hope you can join us at 4 this afternoon. Don't forget Sunday afternoon at 5:30. It's Those Were the Sundays. We'll have the Chase and Sanborn Show, the summer replacement for Charlie McCarthy, with Francis Langford and with Spike Jones and the City Slickers. Well, the old clock up on the studio wall says it's time to go for now, but we'll be back again tomorrow. Well, Monday, same time, same station anyway, from 7 until 10 with more sounds of entertainment from the hall closet. Monday morning, it'll be the Eddie Cantor Show with Marilyn Maxwell and Alan Young. It'll be Bill Stern Sports Newsreel with Bill's guest Cab Calloway back in 1946. And we'll have a situation comedy starring Eddie Bracken on the Eddie Bracken Show. This is Chuck Shaden. Hey, have a good weekend. Thanks for listening. Don't touch that dial. Stay tuned to WLTD all day long for news, weather, information. Good listening, good music. Good morning.
A lot of cars coming off this production line, Henry. What do you do on the line, son?
I bolt pistons.
And you?
I put the soap and water to go in the glove compartment.
What are you, a plumber?
No, sir. These are wash and dry.
When you want soap and water to go, you want wash and dry. They refresh while you scrub, get you clean like soap and water, and they don't fall apart like napkins can.
Soap and water to go in the glove compartment. Henry, you're going to sell a lot of cars this year.
How about selling you one?
How much for just the glove compartment?
Kodak invites you to do something impossible today. Capture a wild and beautiful animal that you can't even touch. Save today for a rainy day. All you do is take a picture.
Surprise! Happy birthday, Ellen.
Oh, this is incredible.
Would you trust this moment to anything less than Kodak film? Pick some up soon.
WLTD, Evanston.
Good morning, it's 10 a.m., and now Mutual News on the Hour, brought to you by Bank of Lincolnwood.
President Nixon is confined to Bethesda Naval Hospital near Washington with viral pneumonia. Mutual's White House correspondent, Forrest Boyd, filed this report.
There's been no report yet on the president's condition, but the news media is set up to cover all bulletins, just as we were when Lyndon Johnson spent two periods of time here during his administration. It's assumed there are no complications of the president's condition, but will be given whatever news there is in a briefing here shortly.
The president's doctors say they expect a rapid recovery. Meanwhile, the chief executive will be handling some of his office work from his bed. It was announced that he would meet Saturday, tomorrow, at the hospital with Senator Sam Ervin, chairman of the Special Watergate Committee, to discuss Nixon's refusal to turn over his personal papers relating to the Watergate. But that meeting has been postponed. Martha Mitchell says she's not responsible for all those phone calls attributed to her recently. She says someone is impersonating her voice. Those Watergate hearings are now underway again this morning with Special White House Counsel Richard Moore on the stand. This is comprehensive news from Mutual Radio.